Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Chof Vov. Mirtz Hashem, we begin at the Mishnah, 12 lines from the top. Lo yita odom ilon somuch l'stei chaveroi. Eloyim kein hirchik mimenu arba amos. One is not to plant a tree near his neighbor's field, unless he maintains a distance of 4 amos. We will see later in the Gemara, the reason for that is called Kedei Avodas Oilonis, which in simple terms means that you will be plowing around your trees with a plow, and the plow has a width of 4 amos. In order to maneuver the plow in such a way that it doesn't go into your friend's field, distance your trees from his border for amos. Echod gifanim vechod kol ilon. Whether it be a question of grapevines or other kinds of trees, the distance of 4 amos must be maintained. Hoya geder beintayim, if there is a fence, a wall between the two properties, then ze soimech legeder mikan, v'zeh soimich legeder mikan. Then each owner can plant his trees right up to the fence. In such a case, there's no fear of the plow going into the neighbor's property. There's a fence between the two properties. Hoyu shroshim yoitzim l'soich shel chavero. If Mr. A's tree's roots were growing underneath Mr. B's land, Mr. B, who needs to plow his land, and a plow, if it encounters tree roots, it cannot continue its work. So the Mr. B has the right to dig down 3 tvochim and eliminate, remove any roots that may be there. In other words, Mr. A's tree's roots. So once again, Mr. B has a right to dig down a depth of 3 tvochim, which is a sufficient depth of, we'll say, of root removal, so as to enable his plow, Mr. B's plow, to effectively plow the property. Hayachofer bor shiach umora, if Mr. B wants to dig a pit, bor shiach umora, different kinds of pits, and that is going to be, of course, a depth of more than 3 tfachim, so he can dig down, kaitzates, and cut any tree roots that may be in the way, v'yored, and continue in his digging of depth, v'eitzim shelo. And the wood, in this case the tree roots, belongs to him. Now here there's a pronoun, and Rashi tells you, begamor mefor shel migmor, will explain who that is referring to, who is entitled to keep those roots. And now we continue with the Gemara. Before we continue the actual text, we glance in our margin where we have a nosei slash mivne, a nosei topic heading with a structural note combined into one. A numbering appears, Roman numerals 1 and 2, with a triangle marking highlighting Shmuel. These represent shnei lishonos be'inyan dalet amos, two versions regarding the 4 amos dikotonik barchokas ilan mistei chavero, the need for maintaining a distance of 4 amos from the neighbor's field, hainu beretz Yisrael. Then the discussion makes reference to the need for maintaining this distance of 4 amos that applies to a land in Israel, land owned in Israel. Afal bebovel sagi b'shnei amos. In Bovel, a distancing of 2 amos would be sufficient. Now the Gemara. Tono. Arba amos omru kedei avodas hakerem. The Brisa expands on the Mishnah and says that the 4 amos mentioned in order to distance one's tree from the neighbor's property is for avodas hakerem. Avodas hakerem, as we explained before, is to enable you, the tree owner, to plow around your trees without the plow going into the neighbor's field. Omar Shmuel lo shonu elo be'eretz Yisrael. That applies to Israel. Avol be'bovel shtei amos, but in Bovel, where they had narrower plows, two amos would be sufficient. Tanya nami hochi, and a brisa supports this. So the Gemara will present a brisa, then raise a it might be, you call it a rhetorical question on the brisa from our Mishnah, and point out that the resolution of these two sources, the brisa mentioning two amos and the Gemara citing the Mishnah meant with four amos, those Tanaic sources are resolved with Shmuel's observation. So the Gemara continues, Lo yita odom ilon somuch l'stecha v'erolim kein hirchut mimenu shtei amos. And we dashed underline shtei amos to draw your attention, to highlight that statistic. The brisa says that one is not to plant trees right next to the neighbor's property unless he maintains a distance of two amos. Vo anan tanan arba amos. But did our Mishnah not teach four amos? El olav Kiddush Shmuel. Rather, the resolution is in accordance with Shmuel. Shma Amino. So this is conclusive. Namely, this brisa with its mentioning of two amos is a support to Shmuel that said that in Bovel two amos is sufficient. The Ika de Rami Lo Mirma. Another version of presenting this is by pitting the two sources, our Mishnah, right up against the brisa. And that's what the Ika, there are those, the Rami, Lo Mirma, that raise these two texts as contradictory. Tanan, on the one hand, it says, Lo Yita Odom, Ilon, Somuch, Lestei, Chaver, Olim, Kein, Hirchu, Menu, Arba, Amos. Our Mishnah says, you have to keep a distance of four Amos, for Ha, Tanya, but do we not have a Brice that says, Shtei Amos, two is enough? Omar Shmuel, Kashya, Kan, Bebovel, Kan, Be'eretz Yisrael. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears, a double underline marking, and on the side under the Mivneh, we have the following description, under the following structural note. We've highlighted with this double underline the following. Havu le hano dikli amitzra. Literally, he had palms on the border. Shnei maisim, shohi lohem dekolim al meitzra chaveram. There are two incidents in which the subjects of the two stories had palm trees on their neighbor's border. In other words, palm trees growing on the border of the neighbor. Rova, we can turn to the Gemara. Rova bar Rav Chonon havu le hano dikli amitzra de pardesa de Rav Yosef. Rova bar Rav Chonon had palms that were growing on the border with his neighbor Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef had a vineyard on his side. Havu osut sipoiri yasvi bedikli. Birds came, they settled on the palms, on Rava Rav Chonon's palms, palm trees. Venachti bepardeso umafsidi lei. And at a certain point, these birds would flutter down onto Rav Yosef's vines and ruin them. Omar le Rav Yosef zil kaitz. Rav Yosef says to Rava bar Rav Chonon, cut down your palm trees. They're responsible, in the way we described, for the ruination of my vines. Omar le v'ho archiki li. I planted them at a distance of four amos. And as we mentioned before in translating this section of Gemara, that he had trees on the border, close to the border would be more accurate. A distance of four amos was maintained. So you can't come to me with claims. I abided by the Mishnah's regulations. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef says, yeah, four amos, that's hani mili. When does that apply? Le'ilonois. When it's an issue of distancing palms from the neighbor, four amos is enough if the neighbor, in this case that's me, if I had other kinds of trees. But I have vines, and when it comes to vines, you need to distance your trees even more. Question, did not our Mishnah parallel vines with other trees? Omale, Rav Yosef says, Hani Mili, the Mishnah that says, Echod Gefan Vechod Kol Ilon, that's when the relationship between the two neighbors is Ilon Li Ilon Ugvanim Ugvanim. When each neighbor has a similar type of growth, Aval Ilon Ligvanim Bunyan Tvei, but in our case, you have Ilon, the palms, and I have vines. When it's, we'll call that, it's that, when it's imbalanced in that sense, then more is required. The Mishnah's four amos doesn't apply. You have to distance your trees even more. Omar Lay. So Rava says back, Ano lo kayatzno, I'm not cutting down my palm trees, my date palms. Di Omar Rav, Hai dikla de toin kova, also le mikze. A palm tree that produces a kav. Kav is a measure of dates. It's also, it's prohibited to cut it down. The Omar of Hanina, lo shachiv shichas bri elo dekot tein so below zimne. Rav Hanina reports that his son's name was Shichas. He says, my son Shichas died prematurely, and you know why? Because he cut down a fig tree before its time. In other words, it was still bearing a minimum respectable quantity of fruit, thereby prohibiting its being cut down. Rava continues telling Rav Yosef, if you want to cut down the trees, namely my palms, then go ahead. But I'm not getting involved. It's a dangerous thing to do. Now another story. Rav Papa Havilei Ano Dikli Amitzra De Rav Una Rei De Rav Yeshua. Note we adopted a long Maisa marking, taking you till four lines from the top of Omid Beis. Rav Papa had Dikla had palms on the border. His neighbor was Rav Una Rav Yeshua. Ozal Ashkechei Dehave Chofar VeKakoyitz Shoshav. Rav Papa noticed that Rav Huna was digging in his property, digging down and cutting away the roots. Omalei, my high. Rav Papa says, "What are you doing? What are you cutting? You're cutting, albeit in your property, but you're cutting away my tree roots." Omalei Tanan. Rav Huna says, "What are you asking? What are you asking on me for? The Mishnah entitles me." It says in our Mishnah, Yoshroshim Yoitzim Lusoich Shel Chavir Ma'amik Shloshesh Kadesh Le'akiv HaMachresha. If tree roots are encroaching on is the neighbor's property, the neighbor is entitled to dig down to a depth of 3 tefachim to enable him, the neighbor, to plow without disturbance. Omar Lei, Rav Papa responds, Hani Mili Shlosha. The Mishnah entitles a depth of 3 tefachim, more kuchofar tvei, but I see you're digging even more. Omar Lei, Ravuna says, Ano boro shichun moros kochafarno. I am digging more than 3, but I'm digging for the purpose of making a pit. This not, and our Mishnah says, Hayochofer boro shichun moro koitzis v'yored v'yitzim shalo. One wants to dig in his property to create a pit, is able to keep digging as much as he needs, and the wood belongs to him. Omar Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa turns to the audience. Amri Lei, and he tells us, Amri Lei velo yachili. Let me read that again. Amri Lei mikulhu velo yachili Lei. And the Gemara continues to the top of Omid Beis Ad the Amri Lei Hodim Rav Yehuda. He turns to us and he says, you know, I was bringing all kinds of proofs. Mitzvah Shem, later in the Tosis we'll see what this Mikulhu is referring to. What proofs? But he says, I was bringing him all kinds of proofs that were designed to prevent him from the continued elimination of my tree roots. And I was, v'lo yachili means I was unsuccessful. He had responses for everything. Until I told him, until I cited a principle, a law of Rav Yehuda. And what is that law? Meitzar shechziku by Rav Mosul Kalkalai. The literal translation of that is a person who has a field, and he has a meitzar, is a border, one's field's border, was taken over by the public, and they were using that as a path. The owner of the field is not entitled to ruin it, to stop them. So borrowing that idea is that it is as follows. Just like in that case where the public, hichzikuba, they had been using it, and as a result of the public's continued use, that resulted in an entitlement, namely that the owner of the property could not stop them. So too, I have a chazoka, so to speak, entitling my tree roots to grow underneath your property. So Rav Papa, based on this seeming winning argument, Rav Papa tells us, the audience, what he, Rav Papa, eventually said to Rav Huna Brev Yeshua to stop him. And he, Rav Papa, said, you can't get rid of my roots because my tree roots have been under your property for a while, and it's like, again, a borrowed concept. It's like Meitzar Shichziku B'Rabbi Moser L'Kalkel. You can't be Makalkel that which I have a Chazoka entitlement to, namely having my tree roots grow under your property. L'Boser D'Nofak Omar. And now the Gemara continues with its description of this give and take between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, after Rav Papa left, and we now focus on Rav Huna. Rav Huna Brev Yeshua tells us the audience, we're listening in on what happened over there. Rav Huna tells us, Amai lo Amri lei, why didn't I tell him back? There's a distinction to be made. Kan besoich sheishes reyamo, kan chutz l'sheishes reyamo. The chazoka that you refer to is if it's within 16 amas, namely within 16 amas of your tree. Okay, there you have a chazoka, but not beyond 16 amas of your tree. And I, says Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, in digging in my field, I was digging at a point, a distance of more than 16 amos from your tree, so that your claim of a chazoka doesn't hold. We continue in the Gemara. We quote from the Mishnah, Yechayfer Bor Shiach U'Me'ora. Man was digging in his property for the purpose of creating a pit. Kaitzeitz V'yorei V'yitzim Shalom. He cuts down and he gets the wood. Ba'amine Yankiv Hadaiva Merafchista Eitzim Shalmi. There was a pronoun in the Mishnah, and those of you who are veterans of Tosfos markings and Gemara markings knows very well that we refer to pronouns as public enemy number one alongside literal translations. These are two areas of learning Gemara and Sforim that can be a source of great difficulty for many of us. In this case, the Mishnah used a pronoun, and here the Gemara is sensitive to the lack of clarity. We have the neighbor digging in his field a pit, and in doing so he's removing the other fellow's tree roots. Those roots are called eitzim, in this case, wood. Who gets them? The Mishnah simply said, and the wood belongs to him. Could be the original tree owner, could be the owner of the field who is right now digging his pit. So Yankiv Hadaiva presented this question to Rav Chisda, Amale Tanisua. Rav Chisda says, you can receive your answer by learning the following Mishnah. The following Mishnah is, we refer to this as the Mishnah from Maseches Me'ilah. Me'ilah, just by the way, is the prohibition of receiving personal benefit from that which was sanctified. Here we have the case of Shroshe Ilon Shel Hedyot, Haboyin Bishel Hegdish, Lonanin Veloy Moyalin. Tree roots of a common tree, Hedyot commoner, common tree. The tree roots are growing right now under a field that has been sanctified. The Mishnah says, Loinanin, on a rabbinic level, do not derive personal benefit from those tree roots. And Velomolin, however, if you do, you're not considered in violation of the Torah, prohibition of Mi'ila. So there's a rabbinic restriction in deriving personal benefit from these roots. However, there's no Torah level violation. If you say that determination is made by looking at the tree from which these roots grow, not the current location, so then we understand why there's no, why it says lo mo'alin, there's no mi'ila, there's no Torah violation of wrongful benefit from hektish. Why? Because the tree in this case was not hektish, the tree in this case was hedyot. So benefiting from hedyot is obviously, or is the result of, does not result in mi'ila. Eliyamris bosu kakas linon, if you say that determination is based on where it is found, amailo malin, in this case the tree roots were found growing under a, or under a sanctified field. So that is Rav Chisda's answer to Yankiv Hadaiva. The tree roots are determined, the ownership of the tree roots, or the identity of the tree roots, are defined by the tree. So that when it comes to Mr. B digging in his field and removing tree roots, who gets the wood? The owner of the tree, Mr. A. Hello, my. The Gemara asks, notice this question takes a couple of lines to develop. Elomai, so what are you saying? Bosir, Ilon Azlinon, that tree root identity is determined by the tree. Amos Seifal, let's continue reading the same Tanaic source, the latter part. This says Shel Hegdish, that means roots of a sanctified tree. Haboyin b'shel hedyot, they continue growing and extend into a commoner's field, a common field, namely a non-sanctified field. The same ruling as we saw before, loinanin v'loy mayalin. V'ibosir ilon azlinon, if, as Rav Chisda wanted to conclude, that the tree serves to identify the roots, in this case the tree is a sanctified tree, amai lo mo'alin, why is there no mi'ila? You're benefiting from a sanctified item, and the tree roots are identified with the tree, as you said before. So that at this point, it would appear that we have a question on Rav Chisda's conclusion. The next statement of the Gemara, And how to learn the Gemara, we will see later, is a discussion in the Tosfos. He actually has two different approaches. Are we now continuing with the question, or are we about to read an answer? According to one of the approaches in the Tosfos, in fact, the second approach, and according to the Rabbeinu Gershom that we see here on the side of the Gemara, we're now going to enter an answer mode, a response. So, just to preempt the Gemara introduce the Gemara, we note that Rabbeinu Gershom says that really, we keep to Rav Chisda's approach, that we follow the tree. The tree determines the factor. The question then is, why in the Seifa is there no Mi'ila if the tree roots were from a sanctified tree? So that's what we're now going to read in the Gemara. Midi Irya, can you conclude from the Seifa? Otherwise, is it at all a problem for us? The Seifa is Begidulin Haboyin Liachar Mikan Askinon. The Seifa is talking about a special case. It's talking about the tree root extended growth after the point in time that the tree had been sanctified. So that which is present at the point of sanctification, so the tree roots are also sanctified. However, that which grows after that, even if you hold Basr Ilan Azlinon, but that which grows after that point of time of sanctification, the tree, those roots, those extent, the extension of the roots or the continued growth of the roots are not part of the sanctification. Let's read that again. Begidulin avoy lachar mikan askina v'kosovar ein me'ila begidulin. The me'ila prohibition or violation is inapplicable to that which grows after the point in time of sanctification. Ravina Omar, and now again taking our cue from the Rabbeinu Gershom, Ravina also says we follow the tree. Now, if we follow the tree, then we need to explain the Seifa. So Ravina Omar lo kashya kan besoch sheish esrei amo. In the Reisha, we were talking about tree roots that were within 16 amos of the common tree, the hedyo tree. So tree roots that appear within 16 amos of the tree, they follow the tree. And in the Reisha, you were dealing with a common tree. Therefore, no me'ila. Kan, in the Seifa, chutz l'sheish esrei amo. The tree roots in the Seifa were further than 16 amos from the tree. So we can't, at that great distance, we can't associate the tree roots with the tree anymore. And all we have left is to identify them with the field in which they're located. And in the Seifa, it was a hedyot field. Hence, there is no me'ila in the Seifa either. We now turn back to the Tosfos on Daf Chof Vov Omen Aleph, the Tosfos Dibur Maskil toward the bottom, fourth Tosfos from the end, Dibur Maskil Echad. This is a quote from the Mishnah that we saw 14 lines from the bottom. It's an Echad Gefanim VeEchad Kol Ilan. The knee to distance, 4 amos, applies to the whether it be the vine or any other kind of tree. This was the Gemara quoting from the Mishnah itself. Mitoch pirush hakuntrus liel mashma denokat echod gifanim. It appears from Rashi back on Daf Yud Ches that the Mishnah specified or highlighted vines in addition to all other trees. Why the reference to Gifanim? Mishum deshayech behu kilayim. The prohibition of kilayim has special relevance to vines. When you're dealing with mixing different kinds of trees or mixing of different kinds of growths, so the Torah speaks specifically about lo sizra karmichol kilayim, your grape vines shall not be planted in a mixed fashion. As we go on in the Tosfos, we'll be a little more specific about what the Torah is actually prohibiting. But in the meantime, taking our cue from Rashi, the reference to Gifanim is because the Torah prohibition of mixing different varieties has a special applicability to vines. Tehevi raya mikan, Rashi brings proof from here. Dikshayesh geder, when there is a fence, leko isur kilayim. Then the issue of mixed breeding does not apply. In other words, the need for maintaining a distance between two different varieties on the one side, a grapevine, on the other side, something else, so that Isur doesn't apply. Once again, the Rashi brings proof that when you have, he brings proof from here, that when you have a getter, a fence, there's no Isur Kilayim. Vezesoy michli getter mikan, vezesoy vezem mikan. Each neighbor can plant right up to the fence whatever he wants. V'ein nireh. However, Tosfos doesn't accept Rashi's point that echod gifanim is mentioned here in order to teach us the law of the laws of kilayim. Namely, that when there is a fence, so you can plant right up to the fence on the one side, grapevines on the other side, whatever you want. Tosfos though feels that you cannot bring proof from our Mishnah to that point. Why not? The Stei Chavero de Katoni Hacha. In our Mishnah, reference was made to the neighbor's field. Our Mishnah said on the second line of our Mishnah, the Mishnah opened by saying, "Lo yuta oda milon somuch l'sdei chavero." According to Rashi, "sdei chavero" would have been a reference to a grain field. And based on that, we can learn the laws of Kilayim. The laws of Kilayim, and we didn't mention this earlier, but have specific application to grapevines growing in the vicinity of a grain field. In order to say that our Mishnah serves as the basis of the law, Rashi cited that if you have a fence, grapevines on one side and a grain field on the other side without any additional distancing requirements is okay. That's making the assumption that Sde Chavero mentioned in our Mishnah was a grain field. However, Tosfos says it doesn't appear that way because the Sde Chavero de Katoni Hocha al Korchach lav b'shel zroyim airi. The Sde Chavero in our Mishnah is not talking about a grain field. Daha mukminon begemara. The Gemara establishes nine lines from the bottom. Demasnisen, our Mishnah in which Ste Chavero appeared. Ilonus lilonus ukfanim gfanim. Avol ilonus ligfanim boi tve. Our Mishnah is preoccupied with fields in which trees are growing, fruit trees. So the two neighbors have ilonos, or the two neighbors have grapevines. However, as we saw in our Gemara, if one neighbor has fruit trees and the other neighbor has grapevines, a greater distance, more than four amos, is required. Mishum tzipori, because of the birds. We saw that in the incident involving Rav Yosef. Umehai taimo, and with that in mind, and let me just emphasize at one point that this from the story involving Rav Yosef, the laws taught in our Mishnah, namely, I should say specifically, the four amma statistic, the four amma distancing requirement is not the topic of our Mishnah. Once again, if one neighbor has date palms and the other neighbor has grapevines, so you require more than four amas that were mentioned in our Mishnah. And umehai taimo, gifanim lizroyim boi tvei. And because of the, for that reason, it seems from the context here, because of the bird problem, you will require, if there, one neighbor has grapevines and the other neighbor has a grain field, you will require even more than four amos of distancing. Therefore, the Sdei Chavero mentioned in our Mishnah, and that four amos is sufficient, clearly does not make reference to a grain field. The Mishnah is limited to tree fields. And if that be the case, you can't use our Mishnah as proof to laws regarding Kilayim, as Rashi indicated. Ela, so now if we're going to accept this, we'll say this criticism of Rashi's pshat. So then we come back to the original question: why does our Mishnah say echad gefanim? What's the need of emphasizing or specifying gefanim when the Mishnah is really dealing with all kinds of fruit trees? Ela denira denokan echad gefanim vechad kol ilon. The thinking is like this: why does it mention in addition to all fruit trees also vines? The lotesik of daite lemeimar. It shouldn't occur to you to think the sheer dalanamis de masnisen dafka begifanim, that the four amma distancing requirement is something that applies only to grapevines. Shemotzino bohem shiur ze b'mokam acher linin kilayim. We find four amos mentioned with regard to grapevines in other contexts, so that when you see the need to distance four amos between the neighbors, one might have thought that is limited to grapevines. Therefore, the true emphasis is not to be on the gefanim, but rather whether it be gefanim or even all other ilonos, echot kol ilon, they too necessitate a distancing of four amos. So the chiddush, as far as Pesach's pshat is concerned, the chiddush really is on the kol ilon, as opposed to the emphasis that Rashi seemed to place on the gefanim. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibra Maschil Avol Bebovel. You'll note that this Tosfos and the one after it both begin with the words Avol, so to distinguish, we mention this one is Avol Bebovel Shnei Amos, a reference to the Gemara, three lines before the Gemara lines get wide. Avol Bebovel Shnei Amos, though the Mishnah mentioned four amos from the need to distance trees, four amos from the neighbor's border, when in Bovel, two amos is sufficient. Tema, Tosfos raises a question. The Beperek HaMoichers HaSfina, in that perek, I mean later in this Masechta, Gabi Kona Shloisha Kona Karka, there the Gemara discusses one who bought three trees. When one buys from a seller three trees, he also gets the surrounding land along with the trees. The Yomer of Yosef, Uvda Hava Bedura Derusa V'chulei. There the Gemara makes reference to an incident in a place called Dura Derusa. And in studying the Gemara there, Mashma Mehosam, you come to the conclusion that Bebovel Nami Boinon Dalet Amos, that in Bovel also the four amma distancing requirement exists. The Bebovel Hava Maisa, in that particular incident, once again, if you turn to the Gemara over there, you'll see the Gemara there, Pei Gimel Omen Aleph, study the first seven lines, so you will see the reference to the need for distancing four amos from the neighbor's field, and that applies to Bovel as well. So how can our Gemara say so conclusively that in Bovel two amos is sufficient, when from the Gemara there you see that four amos is required? The Tzorech Lomars. Tosfos answers, we have to answer that, we have to say that the Vahi Dura Durusa Hoyle Machreshik Doilo Kamoi Beret Yisrael. That was a unique situation that endured Jerusalem. They happened to have wide plows like those of Eretz Yisrael. But in general, the plow width of Babylonian plows was less, was 2 amos. We continue with the next thesis, Avol B'Gefanim, a reference to the Gemara 9 lines from the bottom. Avol B'Gefanim Boi Tfei. You need to distance other trees from if your neighbor has vines growing in his property and you want to plant trees, fruit trees, you've got to distance them your fruit trees even more than 4 amos. And now Tosfos qualifies this requirement, or limits this requirement. V'hu kishenota dekolim kshem gevoyim. The point of distancing even more than 4 amos is this: if you are planting tall palm trees, as a avol, avolim not a garin lo. But if you're talking about someone who's going to plant palms, but in a seed form, not developed palm trees, then the requirement of distancing the palms more than 4 amos does not apply. Just to refresh our memories, the palms in the Gemara, in the story in the Gemara, represented a threat to the vines in their capacity of housing birds, of serving as a rest place for birds that eventually would flutter down onto the neighbor's grape vines. So the palms presented a problem in that form. However, if you are going to plant date palms, but in seed form and only in the course of time will they eventually grow into tall palms, that is not the concern of this Gemara. In other words, then you don't have to distance more than 4 amos. As Tosfos says, the memela kagodel, they grow on their own. You're not responsible for you're not the direct cause of the problem that they will eventually pose. And as such, since it's memela kagodel velo giri delehu, it's not considered as if you're shooting arrows. This concept we've seen numerous times in our recent dapim, so you can appreciate it and appreciate this contrast. So just to review, if you're planting, we'll call it mature date palms in your property that happens to be next to the neighbor who has grapevines, then you've got to distance these somewhat mature date palms at a distance of more than 4 amos from the neighbor's property. But if you're planting seeds, then that additional stringency doesn't apply. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Ano, a reference to the Gemara 8 lines from the bottom. We saw Rav Yosef and Rav Baruch Hanan, and Rav Baruch Hanan said, Ano lo kayatzna, I'm not going to cut down my date palms, Diyama Rav, etc. We saw that you're not allowed to cut down trees before or as long as they're producing a certain minimum amount of fruits. So it appears from this Gemara that it's also to cut down fruit trees, simple as that. The Im Tomar, but you might ask, V'hotnan b'masniso. In our Mishnah, at the end of Chof Hey Omid, in the Mishnah on Chof Hey Omid Beis, it said the Kitzets the Noisein Domim. We saw in the case of a pit that preceded the neighbor's tree. One party had a pit in his field, and the other neighbor decided to plant a tree. The law says in the Mishnah on Chof Hey Amud Beis that since you planted the tree too close to your neighbor's pit, trees to be cut down, and it's to be cut down, the pit owner offers compensation for the cut down tree. What's the point, though? We see the cutting down of a tree. It seems to be a matter of acceptability. And yet in our Gemara, we had trees causing damage, and he and Rava did not want to cut down the tree. V'yesh lomar, you can answer fairly simply, de'ika le'ukmi be'ilon srak, the Mishnah that said kaitzitz v'noisin domum was not talking about a fruit-bearing tree. The whole prohibition that we're focusing on is a fruit-bearing tree. But a ilan srak, a barren tree, a non-fruit-bearing tree, this prohibition or objection doesn't apply. Avol koshe, but still there's a problem. Yamrinan b'hachoyvo, in the 8th parak of Bavakama, Gabi ano dikli demakhshi begufni havu. The Gemara describes a case where there were palm trees that were ruining the neighbor's grapevines. They were weakening the neighbor's grapevines. The Kaomar, and in that Gemara we saw the following: Lemochar Aisili Mikurayu, where the owner of the grapevines says, "I want you." The case there didn't involve two neighbors necessarily, but nevertheless, you have a case of date palms that were makhashi begufni, and the owner of the property told his workers, "Tomorrow, lemochar aisin li mikurayu, bring me boards or beams from the palms." In other words, cut them down. What are we cutting down? Date palms. Alma, mishum hezek ifanim mutur lokutz dekolim. We see from there that from the Gemara Bava Kama that because of the ruination of the vines, one is allowed to cut down date palms. So why not apply the same over here? The yesh lefarish Tosfos answers the shiny hosam. There in Bava Kama was different. If you study the Gemara over there, you'll notice that the order to cut down the date palms was a result of a date taste in the wine produced from those vines. What did that indicate? So as Tosfos says over, Yoser midayo machishim, the effect of the date palms there was extreme, was beyond a tolerable level of depreciation. And because it was extreme, so under circumstances like that, there would be no objection to cutting down the date palms. However, here in the story involving Rav Yosef and Rav Bar of Honon, it wasn't quite that level of depreciation. It was some kind of dirtying or whatever birds do to grapes on vines. That level of damage one would not classify as yoser midai, and because of that, Rava Bar of Honan hesitated. He objected to his own cutting down of those date palms. We continue now on Omid Beis with the Tesis at the top, Dibor Hamaschil Ad. This is a reference to the Gemara on the first line of Chof Vav Omid Beis. Ad the Amri Lei Ha the Omar Rav Yehuda Meitzer Shaziku V'chule. Just to recount, this was part of the incident involving Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. And Rav Papa said, I couldn't stop him from cutting away my tree roots from under his field until I told him the law of Rav Yehuda. What's the law of Rav Yehuda? Meitzer shechziku bo rabim, a path through one's field that has been used by the public. The field owner cannot interfere, cannot stop them. Tosfos is disturbed with this and says, Tamar, my Maisi, me Rav Yehuda, how can Rav Papa bring an objection to Rav Huna from the law of Rav Yehuda? The Rabban Shiny, when it comes to the public is different. When it comes to the public, so their chazoka, their rights of use are greater than, in this case, Rav Papa's rights of use of Rav Huna's field. The Lav Hochi, if you don't make this distinction that Rabban Shiny, then Kashya Masnisin Dikotoni Kutseitz V'Yored, then the Mishnah on Omer Aleph, 19 lines from the top, which describe the neighbor who wanted to dig a pit. He's allowed to cut down as deep as is necessary and cut away the roots. So the Mishnah would pose a problem for Rav Yehuda unless you make the distinction. So that, as we noticed, the concept of Rabban Shiny must be accepted. Namely, if you want to dig a pit, go ahead, dig the pit, and the tree owner on the other, the neighbor tree owner, he can't object, claiming Meitzer Shezikubo Rabban. That's a right that the public has. So the public can object to interference, but a private neighbor can't object to interference, and hence the Mishnah says, Kaitseitz Fiore. Before we go further, I want to draw our attention to our Taktzir / Mivne note. A crown shape appears. And in this crown shape, you'll see one over here, and then quite a bit into the Taisus, quite a bit later, to the lower part of the narrow lines, another crown. You'll see a machloikis between Rav the Rach, and along with him the Rivam, against Rabbi Nutam. How Eich Lefaresh Hadusiach Bein Rav Papa Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, how to explain the discussion, the argument that took place between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. B'maise, in the incident Sheboi Kotzatz Rav Huna Shor She'ilan Rav Papa, in that story we saw Rav Huna cutting away the tree roots of Rav Papa, She Nifnesu Lirishuso, tree roots that of Rav Papa that went into Rav Huna's Rishus, his domain. L'Rach V'Rivom, according to them, Hakpodas Rav Papa Hoysa al Etzem Haktitza. Rav Papa was objecting to the basic cutting, to the actual cutting away of the roots. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Hakpodas Rav Papa Hoysa al Kach Shrav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Lokach Ma Shikotzatz Liatzmo. Rav Papa was objecting to Rav Huna's taking of the Eitzim, the wood, namely the roots, for himself. Another marking that you'll see in addition to the crown that we just featured is a double underline. And if you allow your eye to scan through this Taisus, you'll see this kind of double underline appearing quite often. The double underline specifically with the dots in it. These are tzitutim midivrei ha-gemara. These are quotes from the Gemara. As we explained a moment before, the Bali Tesis here, you have the Rach Rivom against Rabbeinu Tam. They argue in how to learn the discussion or an argument that took place between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. So in going through the Taisus, we want to emphasize the Gemara quotes and the respective explanations of the different phrases. So we go through the Taisus bearing in mind that the Rach, along with the Rivam, is going to give you their approach to the discussion, and later Rabbeinu Tam will give you his approach to their discussion. And along the way, as we said, we'll be quoting from the Gemara. Now we continue with the Tesis. We're on the third line from the top. Upirish Rach v'Rivam. They explain as far as how could Rav Papa cite the din of Rav Yehuda in his efforts to object to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua's digging. So they explain the Rabim Hichziku b'Meitzare the Rav Huna u'Birshuso. The border of Rav Huna Rav Yeshua's field was actually a case of that which Rav Yehuda spoke of, a path that was used by the public. And they were using that Ubir Shusa, meaning with Rav Huna Rav Yeshua's approval, with his permission. Dilav Hochi, if he didn't give the public permission, Ein Cheskosai, or there's the Rashash has here Cheskoson in the plural. There, Chazoka, Pablos Chazoka, Ein Cheskoson Mayeles, the fact that they were using it would have been of no benefit, or would not have granted them a right to continued use, Kidamashma Meiniach, as you can see from the Gemara in the third parak of Bava Kama. V'yosa Rav Huna v'ka chofar b'rshus harabim v'ka tzat shoroshim d'Rav Papa u'mishum achi porich mid'Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna Yeshua was cutting down in his field on that part that was used by the public as a path. And because of that, Rav Papa raised his objection, citing Rav Yehuda's din of Meitzah Shechziku b'Rav Moser l'Kalkaloi. The Kevon Shechziku by Rabbi Meino Rashoi Lachbor, since the public is using that part of your field, of Rav Huna Rav Yeshua's field, you, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, cannot dig there. V'ha deka'omar, and with reference to that which Rav Huna said afterwards in the Gemara, after hearing the objection raised from Rav Yehuda's din, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua felt he had a response to defend his practice of cutting away the roots. Amai lo amri le, why did I not tell him kan besoich sheshes riyama and kan bechutz sheshes riyama? Hochi pirusha. The following is the way to understand that distinction, namely within 16 amas and outside of 16 amas. Klomar. It means to say, Ki komar of Yehuda meitzah shechziku b'rav moser l'kalkaloi. That which Rav Yehuda says that a public path, one is not a public path through one's field, one is not allowed to disturb it. Hani mili toich sheshes reyamo. That's within 16 amos. We'll explain that as we go on a little more clearly in as we progress. Avol chutz l'sheshes reyamo muter l'kalkaloi. If it's beyond 16 amos, and we'll be a little more specific now, the path used by the public with public rights and entitlement is a path measuring 16 amas in width. So within those 16 amas, that's within 16 amas, you cannot disturb the public. However, beyond 16 amas, as Tosfos says, "Avachutz l'sheish l'tezayin amo mutu l'kaklo kivon sheminiach tezayin amo kedin rishus harabin." If you have provided for 16 amas of width for public passage, and you want to dig in your property, it's true it might be a section of the field that the public is traversing, but it's beyond the 16 amas that are already available to the public. You can dig there because you have left for the public an undisturbed width of 16 amas. And Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, was explaining, was defending himself in saying that, yes, I'm digging away and cutting away Rav Papa's roots. And it's under a section of field that's traversed by the public. But I've already allocated, I've left for the public a path measuring 16 amas of width. And hence, I'm entitled to dig in the area beyond those 16 amos. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and we indicate that the main point has been made. We've heard the main point. Namely, that if you leave 16 amos for the public, you are allowed to dig beyond that point. Within the brackets, you'll see this point bolstered, strengthened, supported by a Gemara in the end of the third parak of this Masechet Chesed Sabbatim. Following the brackets, you can see there, Tosis raises a question: what did Rav Papa mean when he said on the last line of Omid Aleph, I brought all kinds of objections to Rav Huna that he deflected. There Tosis will ask what is meant by all of those sources. What was Rav Papa trying to what was he trying to argue or trying to bring as proof to his to support his objection to Rav Huna's cutting? Now, that having been said, we go over the bracketed section. Ubesoif Cheskes Abatim, the Osa Rav Yochanan, at the end of the third perek, where we find a case of a man who had the property that bordered on the Rishus HaRabba, bordered on the public thoroughfare. And he decided to create a front yard and built his house with its wall set in off of the public thoroughfare. In the course of time, the public spilled over onto that property, onto the property that originally was his, that he had moved inwards. Rav Yochanan there says that since the public started using that property that you had moved in from, you can't at some later point return your walls to rebuild walls up along the original public thoroughfare. Now, this prohibition of Rabbi Yochanan is stated even if you, in building your walls back up to the original line, even if there remains revach, space for the public. We'll explain what do we mean by that prohibition, even if you leave space for the public, in light of what we said just before in the Tesis, that if you leave 16 amas of width for the public to traverse, then it's okay. So now let's continue in the Tosfos text. Ubesoif Cheskes Abatim, the Osir of Yochanan Lodom She Konas Toich Shaloi, someone who had withdrawn into his property, Lahachzik Solem B'Mekaymon, Rabbi Yochanan prohibits the rebuilding of Solem, of walls, where he originally, at his original property edge, property border. And this prohibition is Afagav Diko Revocha, even if there happens to be Revach, space. We have an internal bracket we could skip initially, just to keep the reading flow going. Revocha de Gomar Hosom, the space referred to there that didn't help the situation, didn't enable the private owner to rebuild his walls up to his original property line. Hainu she'enu soysin kojus arabin. Avoleka revocha tezayin amo. There was space, meaning his rebuilding of the walls wouldn't have blocked off the public thoroughfare entirely. Okay, it wouldn't have blocked it off entirely. However, it would still not have allowed for a width of 16 amos. Let's go over the bracketed section that we skipped and read through the Gemara, the Tosfos straight through. Rabbi Yochanan had said that even if you had withdrawn, you cannot rebuild walls later up along the original property line that you had. Afagav diko ravocha kidemash ma'asam aliba derech lokish. This idea of there being space, we conclude from what the Gemara says according to Reish Lakish, Hacha Ikar Avacha, where Reish Lakish held that when there is space, so it would be okay. Now, with regard to Rav Yochanan, he says if there's space, even though there's space, it's not okay. Ravacha, the Gemara Hasam, Hainu She'eno Yisoysen Kol Rishos Harabim. The reference to leaving space for the public to walk simply means that, yeah, you would have by rebuilding the walls along the original edge, you would have left space in the sense that you wouldn't have been sealing off the public entirely. However, that doesn't indicate that there's space of 16 amas of width for the public road. If your rebuilding of walls up along your original property line would have enabled a width of 16 amas for the public road to continue, Rabbi Yochanan concedes the mutul kalkalo umachzuk solim lemekayman kida omar hocha, and you would have been allowed to rebuild the walls up along the edge of your original property line. Like we're saying over here regarding the cutting of the roots beyond the 16 amma mark that was allocated or left for the public road. Umihu koshe mai ka'omar of Papa, with regard to the last line of the Gemara, Omed Aleph, that which Rav Papa said, Amri le mikuli, I told him all of these. In Rav Papa's attempt to stop Rav Huna, Brave Yeshua, from cutting away his Rav Papa's tree roots, Rav Papa says, I said to him all kinds of sources. My cool he, what were all those sources that he's referring to? Meforish Harav Menachem. The mikuli, the term mikuli that Rav Papa referred to, hainu. You'll notice we have a house marking on the side under our mivneh. We indicate this hainu simun lahavlid havdel ben gishas Rabbanachem le Rabbeinu Tam lema his kavein Rav Papa. We'll see a difference between Rav Menachem right now and eventually Rabbeinu Tam. What was Rav Papa's kavona when he said Amri Lemi Kuli? My Kuli. What's the Kuli that Rav Papa was referring to? So Rav Menachem says, Hainu, we continue in the Tesis where the house marking appears, Hainu Mikol Hani Disnan, a reference to all of the Mishnayos which spoke about tree and pit, which came first, Imo Ilan Kodam Lo Yokots, if the tree was there before the pit, it is not to be cut down. Suffolk, if there's a suffolk, etc. So in those Mishnayos, Papa was trying to argue. You know, if the tree is there first, says Lo Yokuts, you shall not cut. It's not, no cutting down. And Velo Yachlile, and Rav Papa tells us it's still. Even though I cited those Mishnayos where there's an indication if the tree is there first, it's not to be cut down. I was unable to stop him. This Velo Yachli Le is a quote from the Gemara on the last line of Omer Aleph in the Gemara of Chavav Omer Aleph. What does that mean? Velo, I was unsuccessful. I was unable to stop him. Shohayadoicha Isai. He, Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, deflected my arguments. The Mayri Bilan Atzmo, when it says that if the tree was there before the pit, the tree is not to be cut down, that's a reference to the tree itself. Avo HaShoroshim Yokuts, but that Mishnah doesn't indicate any objection to the neighbor cutting out the tree roots from under his own field. So up to this point, we've focused on the Rach and Rivam and how they explained Rav Papa and his arguments against Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. And as we said, the Rach and the Rivam indicate that Rav Papa was objecting to the actual cutting of the roots. Rabbeinu Tam Forish, the Rav Huna, Hayokaitzeitz, the Loikech HaSharoshim Liatzmo. In our markings, you'll notice we dashed underline Loikech HaSharoshim Liatzmo, because Rabbeinu Tam really wants to focus on this. Rav Huna, not only was he cutting away the tree roots, but he was keeping them for himself. The Yomalei Rav Papa, my high! And Rav Papa said to him, what is going on here? Kloma loma to lokach shoshim latzmo. Why are you keeping the roots for yourself? Amalei desnan. And Rav Huna said back to him, it says, kaitzeitz v'yored. If I want to dig a pit, which is what he was doing, you can cut and as deep as you want. V'kevon shibadin ani kaitzeitz. And since the law acknowledges my right to cut away the roots, kamo kein, you ate some shalit. By virtue of that allowance, I am also entitled to keep the wood. V'amri le mikuli, and Rav Papa tells us that, well, I tried to argue against him from all kinds of sources. What is that? Hainu hano demaisi hocha vahi demaisi lekaman. This is a reference to the sources that Rav Papa was quoting here in our sugya, and also that which appears later on, eight lines from the top, the Mishnah in Mehilah, Shor Sheilon Hed Yora Boy Mchli, that we saw when we were learning the Gemara. Demina Muchach Lekamon, from the Mishnah in Mehilah, it is proven later. Da Eitzim Sheloi dekotani b'masnisin, our Mishnah said, and after digging down to create your pit, the wood goes to him, belongs to him. That eitzim sheloi in our Mishnah hainu shel baal hoilon. That is a reference to the to me, Rav Papa, the owner of the tree, because from the Mishnah in Me'ilah, it appeared that the identity of the roots goes according to the tree. So that would mean, like, and as the Gemara tried to show from citing that Mishnah, Boser Ilon Azlinon, that was when the Gemara itself had asked, who is the owner of the wood? Veloy Yachli Lei. And Rav Papa had said that after bringing all of these proofs that I, namely Rav Papa, gets the wood, I was unsuccessful. Shedocha loy kedadochi le lekamon. Rav Huna Brev Yeshua rebuffed those proofs like the Gemara does so later on. Now, this idea of the Gemara refuting the proof or derailing the proof later, this is a reference to the Gemara that we learned today already, the Mishnah Me'ilah, and this idea of Dochilei would be according to not the way we learned the Gemara. Because we learned the Gemara, we were citing the Rabbeinu Gershon's approach. We also made reference to Tosfos himself having a couple of approaches. So this reference of Kedidochi Leila Kamon, I believe, is a reference to the first Dea in the next Tosfos, where he learned that the Gemara, when it said Ella, it said Midi Iria, etc., was really a continuation of the Makshan of the questioner. Namely, from the source in Milo, you cannot bring proof to the question of Eitzim Shel Mi. You can't determine wood ownership from over there. So if you accept that approach to the reading of the Gemara, you understand here what Tosis means when he says that v'lo yachli lei, that which Rav Papa says, I was unsuccessful in proving my point that I'm entitled to the wood, because shedoch halo kidedochi lei lekamon, Rav Huna Rav Shua rebuffed Rav Papa, just like the Gemara does later on when it deals with the issue of the Mishnah Me'ilah. We continue in the Tosis. Ah, de omale me Rav Yehuda v'chulei. Rav Papa says, I couldn't get the advantage in this argument with my argument against Rav Huna Yeshua until I cited Rav Yehuda's din, namely Meitzah shechzikul Rabim also lekalkaloi. Dinehi shalotayol cheskasi kecheskas Rabim leinyan shalotay rashoy lekaitzitzo. Now here, notice Tosfos here is very sensitive to the original question that we opened up with. We opened up with the question of Tamar, we said at the very top of the Tosfos, how can you bring proofs? How can Rav Papa bring proofs from Rav Yehuda when Rav Yehuda's din concerns the rights of the public? So Tosfos here is sensitive to that. And he's saying, granted, my chazokah is not like the chazokah of a rabbin. In what sense? Le'inin shlote rashoy lekoitzitzai. I don't have a chazokah strong enough to prevent you from cutting away the roots. That kind of chazokah, to prevent that would be something that is a chazokah of the rabbin, if in a parallel situation. But, okay, I don't have that strength. However, le'inyan zeh mi'atoyu, regarding the following, the din of Rav Huda of Rav Yehuda of Meitzah Shechzik Rabim also lekalkaloi should be of benefit to me in the following shiu ha'etzim sheli, that I, Rav Papa, should be at least entitled to keep the roots from that come from my trees, albeit under your field. Oh, masik, and then the Gemara continued. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, after Rav Papa left, he said, Amai lo amri lei, why didn't I say that there's a distinction between within 16 amas and chutz l'sheish esrei? Following, what does that mean as far as Rabbeinu Tam's approach is concerned? Yesh liyos ha'etzim sheli, that when it comes to chutz l'sheish esrei amo, when you're at a distance of more than 16 amas from the tree, I am entitled to keep the wood. Kidoma Ravina lekamon, as Ravina says later, namely 12 lines from the bottom. We saw this at the end of the section of the Gemara that we read. Kan toich sheishes rei and kan chutz l'sheishes rei. That there is a distinction between within 16 amas, then the roots will be identified by the tree and the tree owner. But beyond 16 amas, which is what was true in my case, says Rav Huna Rav Yehoshua, I'm entitled to keep them. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Ella. Now, the trick here is that this word Ella we don't have in our Gemara text. We are, however, referring to the Gemara 13 lines from the bottom. And when we were learning the Gemara, and we just finished learning the previous Tosis, we emphasized that the when we learned the Seifa of the Mishnah in Maseches from Maseches Me'ilah, the Gemara was cited the Seifa as a question on trying to conclude Boser Ilon Azlinon. By virtue of the fact that in the Seifa you saw a hektish tree growing into a hedyot field, and if it was Basar Ilan, so why does the Mishnah Mila say that there's no Mila prohibition? It said they're lonen and v'lo moyalin. So at that point you certainly have a question on the attempt to resolve the issue of Eitzim Shalmi, like Rav Chisda tried to do. Now, how is one to continue in the reading of the Gemara at that point? So we're going to now take that up in this Tosfos. Before we go into the text, though, we have a taksir slash mivne heading for this Tosfos. You'll notice a house shape. This is used to highlight Shnei Girsois by Gemara Vasheni Beneihem, two Girsois in the Gemara and the difference between them. Lefi, number one, according to the first of the approaches, Ha Dekomar Begidulin Haboyin Leachar Mikan. In our Gemara text, we saw that phrase. That phrase, Hu Hemshich Divrei Hamakshon. It's a continuation of the questioner. B'matora, with the goal, Lomar She'en Lahavi Raya Me'amishim B'me'ila Eitzim Shomi. With the point being that you can't bring proof from the Mishnah in Me'ila in order to determine who is the owner of the wood. Lefi, number two, according to the second approach, Lo Gorsim Ela Midi Irya. We don't have those words according to the second approach. In our Gemara text, as we have it, the word Ela doesn't appear to begin with. We do have the words Midi Irya, but according to this second approach, even those words are not to appear. Vagemara Bo Loimar, and the goal of the Gemara according to the second approach, Sham Mishnah B'Mila, Shemeh Mishnah B'Mila, Loimdin Shahoichin Basar Ilan. That from the Mishnah B'Mila you really do learn that you follow the tree in order to identify the roots. Ubekach B'Nyonenu Ha'itzim Shel Baal Ilan. And as a result, then the wood would belong to the owner of the tree. So that's a bit of an overview, and now we go into the Tesis itself. Tesis Ela, Hocha Begidulin Haboyin Leachar Mikan. V'yesh Sforim Degarsi Midi Irya Ha Begidulin. There are Gemara texts that have that Girsa, and essentially that is the Girsa that we have. However, Tesis says, and this is in contrast to the Rabbeinu Gershom's approach, V'chol Zeh Midivrei Hamakshe. Klomar, that this piece of Gemara where it says Midi Irya Begidulin Bochel Achar Mikan Askinon the Kosavrei Milo Begidulin, that those two lines of Gemara, Klomar Al Korchach Loi Tuchal Lifshoit Mikan, you cannot conclude from here the question of ownership of the wood. Why not? Why can't we use the Mishnah in Me'ila for that purpose? De Begidulin Haboyin Li'achar Mikan Airi. The Mishnah Me'ila is dealing with the continued root growth after the point of sanctification. And regarding the Gidulin Haboyin Li'achar Mikan, there is no Hegdish. Hegdish is not chal on them. Sanctification doesn't take hold of them. V'i Bosser Ilon Azlinon. Now, Tosfos here deals with the different approaches suggested in the Gemara itself. How do you determine ownership or identity? Do you follow the original tree, or do you follow the location? V'i Bosser Ilon Azlinon. If identity is determined by the tree. Reisha, and we have a little starred note you see on the side of the Tosfos text. What we've done here is simply written quoted the Tanaic source in from Maseches Me'ila, highlighting the Reisha, and then underneath you can see the Seifa. In the case of the Reisha, the Ilon was Hedyot. The Karka was Hekdish, and the ruling was Lo Nanin V'lo Mo'alin. The Seifa, the circumstances were switched around, where the Ilon was Hekdish and the Karka was Hedyot, but the same ruling applied, Lo Nanin V'lo Mo'alin. What Tosfos wants to know, or wants to clarify right now, is what is the Chiddush in the Reisha? What's the novel point, the point that is, let's say, not so obvious, that as a result needs to be taught? What's the Chiddush in the Reisha, and what's the Chiddush in the Seifa? So what we tried to do with some symbols, with some markings in our note on the side, is highlighting the variables of Bosser Ilon or Bosser Karka. Bosser Ilon, you can see we've highlighted with a diamond. Bosser Karka, we've highlighted with a triangle. Where is the Chiddush? So, in the Reisha, if you were, let us say, going to go Bosser Ilon, in the Reisha, where's the diamond? The diamond highlights the Chiddush. In the Reisha, if you are going to go Bosser Ilon, the Chiddush will be in the ruling of Loi Nehenin. Why is that? Well, if you're going to tell me, follow tree. What is the tree in the Reisha? Hedyot, commoner tree. Well, if it's a commoner tree, to tell me there's no Mila, that's obvious. However, telling me you're not allowed to benefit from it, that's a Chiddush. It's a commoner tree, and you're telling me, go Bosser Ilon, and you say, Lo Nen, you're not allowed to benefit from it. That's a Chiddush. In the Seifa, where will you find a Chiddush in the Seifa if you say, Bosser Ilon? Well, in the Seifa, we featured a holy tree, an Ilon that was Hekdish and Karka Hedyot. In the Seifa, the Chiddush will be Loi Mo'alin. Why is that? Because you're dealing there with a Ilon of Hekdish. And you're telling me that there's no Mi'ila, that's a Chiddush. In that spirit of things, the next couple of lines of Tosfos continues. So now we go to the Tosfos. The E Bosser Ilon Azninon, and in the Reisha, we were dealing with an Ilon that was Hedyot. Ashmeinen the Ein Nehenin. The Chiddush is that you're not allowed to benefit rabbinically. You're not allowed to benefit from it, even though it's an Ilon of Hedyot. The Seifa that featured an Ilon of Hekdish, Ashmeinan, the Chiddush in the Seifa would be the Ein Mo'alin, that there is no Mi'ila. Again, this is all working with the heading of Gidulin Haboin L'achar Mikan. We're dealing with the tree roots that grew after the point of sanctification. So that in taking the Seifa, for example, we had a sanctified tree. There were, however, roots that grew beyond after that point in time. But we do say Bosser Ilon Azninon. The Chiddush is that there's no Mi'ila. That since it's Gidul Boy Lachar Mikan, there's no Mi'ila. The E Bosser Karka Azninon, and if identification is based on where you find the roots, namely the ground, so Reisha, in the Reisha, you were dealing with sanctified land. Ashminen, the Chiddush in the Reisha, once you lay down as your premise Bosser Karka Azninon, the Chiddush in the Reisha is the ruling of Ein Mo'alin, that there's no Iser Mila, even though the roots that you find happen to be in Karka the Tekdish. However, as we said before, the roots in question are those roots that developed after you had sanctified the field. The seifa that featured karka of hedyot. What's the chiddush in the seifa? If you say that you go boser karka, the chiddush is the einen, and that even though it's karka of hedyot, you're not allowed to benefit from those roots. The einenin bagidulin. That even though it's gidulin habol liachar mikan, and hegdish really isn't chal on them, nevertheless you're not allowed to benefit from them. The im toimar, you might ask as follows: Hahi bova dashmiinen the ein miila bagidulin. Whether it be in the Reisha, it said there's no Mi'ila, or in the Seifa you saw no Mi'ila. In the Mishnayos of Mi'ila, where we're being taught there's no Mi'ila in the Gidulin, the Shaminon, why not teach as the scenario as follows? Shel Hegdish, Aboyim Shel Hegdish, Davi Rabusa Tvei. A tree of Hegdish with its roots growing under Karka that has been sanctified, that's Hegdish. And even though both are Hegdish, there's no Mi'ila because you're dealing with Gidulin, Haboyin, Liachar Mikan. So the question once again is, why is that scenario not featured? The Yesh Lomar. The Nokat Hachi, the Mishnah Mila chose to teach thusly, namely, Hedyot together with Hegdish. We saw Elon of Hedyot and Kark of Hegdish, or Elon of Hegdish and Kark of Hedyot. We'll say the combination approach. The Nokat Mishum Hachi, the Nokat Hachi Mishum Idoch Bova, the Ashmeinan Die Nenin. Because it wanted to teach also, we'll say at the same time, the prohibition of benefiting. To have a rabusa tfei, she'ena kol shel hegdish. To teach me, you cannot benefit. Under circumstances where it wasn't entirely hegdish, namely tree and ground, that's a bigger chiddush. You've got a situation where there is hedyot presence, namely it's not all hegdish, and at the same time, amen, and you're not allowed to benefit. So, because of the Mishnah's agenda in wanting to tell me, give me the maximum Kiddush regarding the amen, and even though it's true we're talking about Gidul and Boin Lachar Mikan, but you get a bigger dollar value, so to speak, in Kiddush terms, by telling me amen. Even though there's a hedyot presence, therefore it was not in the interest of the Mishnah Me'ila to tell me both Elon and Karka of Hegdish. Rabbeinu Chananel lo goris ela. Rabbeinu Chananel does not have the girsa of ela. In fact, in our Gemara Girsa, we also did not have that. By having Ela, that gave room for the first approach of saying that the Mishnah was simply, the Gemara itself was simply denying the use of the Mishnah Mila to bring proof to the question of Eitzim Shalmi. If you knock out the Ela word, then as Rabbeinu Chananel goes on to say here in the Tosis, let's read that again. Rabbeinu Chananel lo goris ela, v'hametaretz hu deka'omar hochi. And it's really the metaretz, meaning the one who was answering for Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda had demonstrated from the Reisha that we say Boser Ilan. We raised the Seifa as a problem. It's not so comfortable to say Boser Ilan. More answer, no, we can say Boser Ilan. And as far as the Seifa, Metaritsu the Gemara Hochi, the Muki Seifa, the Ein Me'ila Begidulin. That the Seifa was speaking about the Gidulin Abon Lachar Mikan issue. But the resha, that can be used to support the Busser Elon idea, and hence Eitzim, in the case of the Gemara, the Eitzim would have belonged to the owner of the tree. V'ha delo nokat the shel hegdish v'shel hegdish. This, at this point, you can see he's dealing with the same issue that we dealt with before, in the, according to the first approach. And that which the Gemara, or I should say the Mishnah in Me'ilah, doesn't tell you about a tree that's hegdish and karka that's hegdish. Mishum deboi lemintat dumyo dereisha de'ena kol dehegdish elachad dehegdish v'chad dehedyot. In the Sefer, it didn't. In the Sefer, which spoke about Gidulin Haboy and Liacha Mikan, and you would have said, well, you could get a, you'd get a bigger Kiddush if you were to tell me that there's no Mi'ilon Gidulin Haboy and Liacha Mikan. If everything is Hegdish, everything is Hegdish, the Ilon and the Karka, and still there's no Mi'ilon the Gidulin Haboy and Liacha Mikan. So why didn't the Sefer tell me that? Because the Sefer wanted to choose a format similar to the Resha, where the Einah called Hegdish, Elachad, the Hegdish v'chad Hedyot, where it wasn't all Hegdish, one was Hegdish and one was Hedyot, and we had in the Resha specifically the case of Elon of Hedyot, and we saw Lo Marlin, and from that we were able to, that from that Rav Chisdok was able to conclude Boser Elon Azlinon. So in the Resha, it's clear that that format was very important, to have the one of Hedyot and one of Hegdish. So because of that format, the Sefer, which spoke about Gidulin Haboy Liacha Mikan, also adopted that format of one of Hegdish and one of Hedyot. Avol, I Boser Karka Azlinon, let us say, to try to deflect this approach by suggesting that, you know, it's unlike Rav Chisdok's conclusion, but suggesting Boser Karkas Linon, the Resha, and then the Resha is Ashmeinen De'ein Me'ila Be'gidulin, and the Chiddush of the Resha would be, or I should say, the topic of the Resha would have been Ein Me'ila B'Gidulin. That is, if you're going to say Boser Karka, and in the Resha where you had Karka of Hegdish, why would it be Lo Ba'alin? So you would say the Resha is talking about a case of Gidulin Haboy Liacha Mikan. Then in a case like that, where the purpose of the Resha would have been to teach Ein Me'ila B'Gidulin, or B'Gidulin, that it's talking about Gidulin Haboy Liacha Mikan, then the Resha should have taught Shel Hegdish B'Shel Hegdish. Then that you would have given you would have got more for your money, so to speak, if you would have taught that everything is Hegdish, and still, since it's Gidulin Haboy Liacha Mikan, so there's we can issue the ruling of Lo Moyalin. The Ein Meyushav Kol Kach Lomar, and like, in order to evade that suggestion and say that, well, it didn't teach everything Hegdish in the Resha Lomar Tona Resha Agav Sefa, because the Mishnah wanted to have a Resha that's patterned after the Sefa. That in Ochinami, in the Sefer, we have one of Hegdish and one of Hedyot. We say Boser Karka. But nevertheless, if that were the case, you wouldn't have passed up on the chance. If the Resha were talking about Gidulin Haboy Liacha Mikan, you wouldn't have passed up on the chance to say both were Hegdish in order to have a format whereby the Resha is parallel to the Sefa. Because that is not common. Kamo Tona Sefa Agav Resha. As opposed to the approach we are taking, where a seifa is patterned after the resha. That's the approach that we, in fact, did say in explaining why, if the seifa is talking about gidulin aboyim lachar mikan, and you would have been able to tell me a bigger chiddush by saying ilon shel hegdish and karki shel hegdish, meaning hakol hegdish. Why did the Gemara, why did the Mishnah not teach like that? Because it wanted to parallel in the Seifa a pattern similar to the Resha. That is common. And therefore the Roman numeral number 2 approach is smooth, and that the Resha remains as the basis for Rav Chisda's conclusion, or his use of the ratio to conclude Eitzin Shelmi, and the Seifa doesn't present any objection, because the Seifa is talking about a different topic altogether. It's talking about Gidulin Habon Liachar Mikan. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Ravina. We saw in the I would point out, let's, that first of all, Ravina Omar is reference to Gemara 12 lines from the bottom, and the way we learned the Gemara was that Ravina was also strengthening Rav Chisda's approach that we do go Bosser Ilan, and as far as the Resha and Seifa are concerned, the Resha, which spoke about an Elon of Hedyot, was speaking of roots that were within 16 Amos. So since they're within 16 Amos of the tree, the roots are identified with the tree. In the Seifa, we saw a tree that had been sanctified, and yet there was no Isur Mi'ilah. That's because even though we hold in principle Bosser Ilan, the tree roots were beyond 16 Amos. And we now to continue in the Tosfos himself. Ravina Omar Lo Kashi Kan Toich Tezayin V'chulei. Resha, the Resha which spoke about a common tree, an Ilan of Hedyot, Besoch Tezayin Amo, within 16 Amos of the common tree, the Bosser Ilan Azlinon. And therefore we were able to rule there was no mi'ilah. The seifa, that spoke about karka that's hedyot, and even though we say boser ilon aznidon chutz letez zayin amo, it was beyond 16 amas and of the original tree, the boser karka aznidon. Under those circumstances, since it's more than 16 amas there, we will say determine its identity by the karka, and in the seifa, the karka was hedyot, was not sanctified, and therefore the ruling of Lo Ma'alin is quite understandable. V'im toimar v'lisni idi v'idi toich tezayin, you might say, why not teach that both Resha and Seifa are within 16 amas of original tree, Velisni Seifa Moalin, and let the Seifa say that since it's within 16 amas, and you said Bosser Ilan Azlinon, have the Seifa then teach Me'ila. Inami Idividi Achar Tezayan, both Resha and Seifa are beyond 16 amas, Velisni Beresha Malin, and have in the Resha where the Karka was Hegdish, have the Mishnah teach that there would be Mi'ilah once it's beyond 16 Amos, and you're dealing, so we can't identify the roots with the tree, even though we hold Bosser Ilan, but it's more than 16 Amos, and it's now in Karka of Hegdish, say Mi'ilah in that case. Why was that not the format? V'yesh lomar, the Tana Hachi Lashminin, the Mishnah in the Ila, in accordance with Ravina's explanation, it teaches it the way it does. Lashminan de Betravayu, to tell me that in both cases, Bein Besoich Tezayin Amo, Bein Chutz LeTezayin Amo, whether you're dealing with a case within 16 Amos, and that would be, like we saw in the Elon Hedyod case, and also beyond 16 Amos, that you can have a scenario of being more than 16 Amos from the original tree, and that was the case where the Elon was Hekdish, and yet, Loi Nenin V'loi Moyalin, that we can apply that psak, the same psak of lo nenin v'lo moalin, sometimes besoich tezayin amo, and sometimes chutz le tezayin amo, based on the circumstances that were dictated by the by Ravina in explaining the reisha and seif of the Mishnah in Me'ilah. We go back to the Gemara on Daf Chof Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, where you see Omar Ula, you see also our firebox marking. On the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, we indicate that this is a long topic. It goes to Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, and in the context of our Dafyomi style Shiurim, we're probably not going to finish the Sugya today. Nevertheless, it's the note reads Din Shel Ula. The firebox indicates that we're going to be preoccupied, as we said, a long time with Ula's din. Ilan hasomuch lemeitzar sheishes reyamo, a tree, a fruit tree that's growing within 16 amas of the neighbor's border. Gazlon hu is it's viewed as thievery. The ein mevi'im mimenu bikurim, and fruit that comes from such a tree. So one is not to bring bikurim from that tree. When you classify something as an act of theft, so it's totally inappropriate to bring it as a type of korban. We'll say it's brought to the Beis Hamikdash, placed next to the Mizbeach. So Ula calls this kind of situation gezel. Where's the gezel, you might ask? Well, within 16 amos, the tree roots derive nourishment, plant nourishment from the ground. And if it's within 16 amos of the neighbor's border, that means the tree root tips are in the neighbor's, are growing under the neighbor's property. So his property is providing nutrients for your tree. And unless you have some kind of special arrangement, that's unlawful. It's an unlawful benefit that you are receiving from his property. And hence Ula's observation or classification of this as being an act of gezel. The marking that you see as a double underline will be shlavim, stages, b'chipus moker l'divrei Ula. We'll be seeking a source for Ula's ruling. Now, let's open the Gemara by reading Omar Ula, Ilan hasomuch lemeitzar, a tree that is near a border, the neighbor's border. Besoich sheishes reyamo, the tree is within 16 amas of that border. Gazlon hu v'ein mevi'in mimenu bikurim. It's considered an act of theft, and therefore it is unlawful to bring bikurim from that tree. You'll notice we have a long bracketed section. As far as today's shiur is concerned, we, Mirtzah Hashem, will learn the bracketed section, and following that, in our marked Gemara on Daf Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, you'll notice a triangle, and that's one of our series markings. At that point, the Gemara will be raising kashis on Ula from sources where it seems that trees that are very close to the neighbor's border are acceptable for the bringing of bikurim. But as I said, that section of Gemara where we're going to be raising kashis on Ula's basic din, will Mitzvah Shem leave for the next time. So the balance of today's shir is, in order to determine where did Ula get this number from, 16 amas. And that's what is taken up in the bracketed section. The Gemara will be characterized by, Gemara and particularly the Tosfos, be characterized by some extensive, mathematical geometry analysis. The Gemara. Minole l'ula ha. From where does Ula know that the, we'll call it the Shiur Yanika, is 16 amas? When we speak about 16 amas, just you should recognize, and this will be very helpful for the Gemara later on, that it's a radius from the tree outwards in all directions. And in the course of the Gemara, we'll be using numbers that relate to the radius of the circle formed by we'll call tree nutrition derivation, and we'll also speak about diameters of that circle as well. So be careful not to confuse the two. So from where does Ula know this 16 amo figure? Elaymo midisnan. If you want to suggest it's from the following, we're going to present a Tanaic source and then extract from this source some statistics. But at the end of this discussion, you'll notice the Gemara will reject it because the statistics featured in this source do not match with the 16 amas mentioned by Ula. That will give rise to the continued search for a source, second line from the bottom, where you see our next double underlines, where these are stages in trying to find what was Ula's source. So we suggest as follows. E lame, if you want to say me this, non eser natias, hamifuzaros besoich beisa. Natias are saplings. If you have 10 saplings that are scattered over an area measuring a beisa. Beisa is an area of 50 by 50 amos. 2,500 square amos. And the Mishnah says, if you have that, Chorshin kol beisa b'shvilon ad Rosh Hashanah. And we're talking about Erev Shvius, the sixth year of the seven-year cycle, where in general there's a law that says you've got to extend the Shemitah prohibitions backwards into the sixth year and stop agricultural activity a bit earlier. Some aspects until you can work the field until Pesach of the sixth year. Some other aspects tell you until Shavuos of the sixth year. But from that point on, a cessation of agricultural activities. However, if you have saplings, 10 saplings covering an area of a beisa, there we are lenient. It's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, an oral tradition that allows the plowing of that area right up till Rosh Hashanah. Namely, you're not going to be practicing Tosefes Shvius, adding on to the Shvius year in this case. But what we're interested in are the figures, the numbers. Kama havalahu. How much or how what is the size of a beisa? Answer: Tre alfin v'chomesh mea garmidi. Two garmidi are amos, so it's 2,500 square amos. We mentioned before an area 50 by 50. You can have it. You can also have an area measuring 25 amos by 100 amos. It's the same thing. It's 2,500 amos. L'chol chad v'chad kama moti le. Each tree, if we mention 10 trees in 2,500 amos, so each tree, 10 of them, would be moson v'chamshin, 250 square amos per tree. Well, ha lo havi de ula. If you figure the diameter of of a circle measuring 250 square amas, the diameter is going to be far less than, well, I should say the radius of such a circle is going to be far less than 16 amos. Just, you can just imagine a square measuring 250 square amos. The side of such a square is going to be quite a bit less. I should correct myself. And true, what we said has validity, but at this point in the Gemara, and you can see this in Rashi, this is rejected as a source for the following very simple reason. We just mentioned now that if 10 trees take up 2,500 amas, one tree is going to take up 250 square amos. Ula's tree had a diameter, we mentioned a radius of 16, that would mean a diameter of 32. If you were to measure a square area like that, you would do 32 by 32, and you would find then that you get 1,024 square amos, as opposed to 250 square amos. So, therefore, the Gemara says, Ha lo havi de'ula. The trees featured in this source of Eser Netios do not match Ula's much larger area. So where did Ula get his numbers from? V'yelo midisnan, from the following source. Shlosha ilonos shel shlosha b'nei adam, three trees belonging to three different owners. Harei elu mitstarfin, they are considered connected with one another, can join up. V'chorshin kol, we continue at the top of Daf Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, base saw v'shvilon. Here you're talking about, once again, Erev Shvius, and we mentioned before that the year before Shvius, the sixth year, generally speaking, agricultural activities are to stop Pesach time. However, when you're dealing with a Sde Ilon, there is an increase, we'll say, greater leniency, extended time in which plowing of a Sde Ilon can take place. It can take place until Shavuos. That's as opposed to a grain field where the plowing for its benefit would have to stop at Pesach time. So if you have three trees owned by three different people, they nevertheless can be considered one unit with regard to this halacha of classifying the ground on which they're located as a ste'ilon, and as a result, you can plow the entire besa'a up till Shavuos time on that erev Shemitah year. That's because we're able to classify it as a ste'ilon, as opposed to a Sode Lovan, a grain field. What do we have from here as far as statistics are concerned? Well, Kama Havalahu, how much is a Besaw? We said this before. We say it again. Tre Alfi V'Chomesh Mea Garmidi. 2,500 square amas. How many trees do we have here? We have three trees in the area of a Besaw, which, as we said, in titles you to plow up the entire besa for their benefit. In other words, the three trees occupying a besa need that area for their development. The cholchad kama moti lei, for each tree, how much does each tree get? Tamni mea v'talsin utlosa v'tilsa. Take 2,500 divided by 3, that gets you to 833 and a third square amos. Does that help Ula? Akati nefishi le de Ula. But still, Ula's number, nefishi, is greater. Ula's number, namely 1,024, and how did we get to that? Well, we mentioned that Ula had a tree centered in the middle of of a line that measures 16 amas to either side of the tree. So the square area of that would be 32 by 32. And the tree is in the middle of that area. Well, in the middle of an area of 32 by 32 means it's the tree's maintenance is dependent on its being in an area of 1,024 amos. That's not the statistic that we derived from the Mishnah. The Gemara says, well, lo dok. Ula was not precise. What's Ula's din? Ula's din is that if your tree is 16 amas from the border, do not bring Bikurim. And Ula was saying, lo dok. He was being imprecise. In other words, the tree really doesn't need that much room. The tree can get by with 833 and a third, not 1,024. Well, that would mean that the tree, technically speaking, is not considered a goslin. You're not considered a goslin, even if you're within the 16 amo measure. And you could be then within the 16 amo measure by letter of the law. You should be bringing Bikurim, because you're not a goslin. And Ula is saying, well, you're a goslin until 16 amas. So as a result of Ula's imprecision, he is affording you a leniency. He's telling you that you can have a situation where technically you should be bringing Bikurim. No, you don't bring Bikurim. And that's the result of Ula being lo dok. The Gemara asks, you can say that someone is being imprecise if the result of that is a increased stringency. To suggest a point of a result of leniency coming as a result of being low doc, do we say such a thing? In other words, as we said, just to repeat our point, according to Ula, you continue being exempt from bringing Bikurim at a point where the letter of the law would have required you to bring Bikurim. The Gemara continues and says, we've got to reevaluate the numbers we've presented, and you'll see that that really Ula is based on the Mishnah that we just cited, the Mishnah from Masechta Shviyos of Shloshi Lonas. Let's see how that works out. Mi Savris Beribua Koamrinon. Ula and his 16 Amos, and if you recall, we used that number to get to a square area of 1,024. Well, that number, 1,024, is a square. Not just square area, but it's a measurement assuming that you're dealing with a square. Each side of the square measuring 32 times 32, which gives you the area of a square, that's 1,024. But who says that Ula was talking in terms of a square? Be'igula ko'amrinon. Ula was not speaking in terms of a square, but he was speaking about a tree located in the middle of a circle with a radius of 16. What's the relationship between a square with a side measuring 32 and a circle whose diameter is 32? The square is obviously larger. The square has corners to it which extend beyond the circle contained therein. So michti, we ask, kama meruba yoser alo eagle, how much larger is that square than the circle? Namely, a square with side X, how much larger is that side, is that square, than a circle with diameter X? In this case, we are dealing with a square that was, whose side was 32, and Ula's tree, who's located in a circle, diameter 32. How much larger is that square than the inscribed circle? Answer, Ravi'a. The square is 1/4 greater. So what you have to do now is you would calculate 3/4 of 1,024. And what do you come up with? You come up with the number of, it's a square, Amos, 768. The circle, therefore, that has a diameter of 768, that's Ula's circle. The circle whose square area is 768 will have a diameter of 32 and a radius of 16. That's what Ula was speaking about. Ah, it's a square area now. It's a square area measure. Not talking about an actual square, but the square area of the circle is what? 768. Well, that is not the number that we saw in the Mishnah in Shavuos. We saw there 833 1/3. Akati Pashle Palgadi Amsa. There still remains a discrepancy of 1/2 an amma. Well, when we learn through the Tosfos, we'll investigate this quite a bit more. But for our purposes right now, the Gemara is saying there still remains Akati Pashle. Pash is means more than or extended. There is still more in the Mishnah of Shavuos beyond Ula's tree of 1/2 an amma. So many of you might be raising your eyebrows. Where does 1/2 an amma come in to a discrepancy between 833 1/3 and 768? Well, the answer to that is determine the diameter of the circle that measured 833 1/3. That we didn't mention. We didn't tell you about that before. So the Gemara is telling you right now that the diameter of the tree in the Mishnah of Shavuos is a diameter that is greater than Ula's diameter of 1/2 an amma on each side. So that if you had Ula's circle formed by a tree in the middle measuring diameter 32... add 1/2 an amma on one end and 1/2 an amma on another end, you get to a diameter of 33. If you calculate the square area of a circle whose diameter is 33, you come out with the number 833 1/3. Now let's think about this. As far as Ula is concerned, we said that the Mishnah in Shavuos has a diameter of 33. That would mean that tree nutrients, you have to take that diameter and cut it in half to give you the tree, because the tree is in the middle of such a circle. The tree is deriving its nutrients when the tree is located in the middle of that diameter, so it's for 16 1/2 amas in all directions. By letter of the law, can you bring Bikurim if the tree is within 16 1/2 amas of the neighbor? By letter of the law, don't bring Bikurim. What about Ula? Ula said, you don't bring Bikurim if the tree is within 16 amas of the neighbor. Let's say the tree is more than 16 amas from the neighbor. Well, as far as Ula is concerned, he may very well have to bring Bikurim. Letter of law says no. Ula says yep. So the Gemara says, Hainu, the lo dok, Ula chumra lo dok. It's in this context that We mentioned that Ula was not being precise, but his imprecision is in the direction of stringency. Namely, just to repeat, he, Ula, could have exempted from Bikurim up till 16 and a half amas. But he says, no, you won't bring Bikurim if the tree is 16 amas from the border, from the neighbor's field. But if it's a little, if it's more than 16 amas, as far as Ula is concerned, bring Bikurim, even though the letter of the law would say you don't have to bring. So Ula is actually being machmir, he's being stringent. So as far as the source for Ula and tree nutrient derivation is concerned, the source then could very well be it is then that Mishnah from Shemitah, from Maseches Shviyas. We continue now with the Tosfos on Chof Vav Amud Beis, Dibor Hamaschil Gazlon. This Tosfos you'll find the second Tosfos from the end in the middle of the wide lines on the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Beis. This is a reference to more 9 lines from the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Beis, Ula's teaching that the tree that's within 16 amas of the border, Gazlon hu v'ein mevien, v'ein mevien mimenu bikurim. Before we learn the Tosfos itself, let's take a look at our structural note. We have a diamond marking that we feature, and we indicate, we'll see a machlokes rach v'rabbeinu Yitzchok b'ula. A machlokas within understanding Ula. Ma hamashma'us, what is the meaning or the connotation, shel gazlon, who? Ula said that a tree that's within 16 amas of the neighbor's border is a gazlon. What does gazlon who mean? V'lochein, and as a result of that classification, ein mevien mimenu bikurim. So, larach, gazlon mamish. According to the rach, there's an issue of unlawful benefit of someone else's property. I use the term gazlon mamish for just for simplicity purposes. You're dealing with the realm of that which is prohibited on a moment basis, on a financial basis. The Rabbi Yitzchok in the Tosfos will see another approach, that of Rabbeinu Yitzchok, of Rabbi Yitzchok. Gazlon is a reference to ha'etz. Yoinek misode acher, the tree is the thief, so to speak. The tree is drawing nutrients from someone else's field. The lochein lo nitan lomar, and therefore one cannot recite the required recitation when bringing bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash and giving it to the kohen. The owner declares min ho adomo asher nosatali, a pasuk in the Torah, but namely that he's declaring that these are fruits from the land that you gave me. But if your tree is deriving nutrients from the neighbor's land, then you can't say the land that you gave me. So as a result of that, Ula uses the term gazlon hu. I repeat, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, the term gazlon then is a, maybe you could call it a figure of speech, the tree is a thief, and in that sense the owner doesn't bring bikurim, because part of the bikurim ceremony is the required recitation of the parsha, and that he cannot say with honesty or with accuracy. Now we turn to the Tosfos. Gazlon hu v'ein mevien mimenu bikurim, pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, mishum d'ein mevien gezel al gavi hamizbeach. And as we said in our introduction, Rabbeinu Chananel takes the word gazlon on a fairly literal basis. And gezel, theft, one doesn't bring as a sacrifice. Shenemar ni Hashem sone gezel, sone gozel be'oila. The pasuk says, "I am the Almighty that hates theft as a sacrifice." Uksiv ve'vesem gezel v'chule. And Vehevesim Gozel, and there the Gemara, the Pasuk in Malachi, also reprimands one who brings stolen animals as sacrifices. Now, Ula classified a tree up to a distance from the border of 16 amas as unlawful. Veles lon de Ula. However, Tosfos on a halacha level says we don't hold by Ula. To behedya paskina kribyosi, we in an explicit fashion rule like Rabyosi that doesn't require distancing. In the sugya dealing with pits and trees, you can dig, you can plant your tree in your property wherever you want, right up to the border. Another neighbor can dig his pit wherever he wants, right up to his border. What you see from that ruling is that there is no distancing requirement. And if that be the case, then it stands to reason that you would be chayav to bring bikurim even with a tree that is not distanced from the neighbor's field. So in that, you can see that we do not rule like Ula. V'im toimar lepirusho, you might ask, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel, Ula, now that means, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, that we do not rule like Ula, we rule like Reb Yossi, Ula being an Amora, and we don't accept his ruling, we paskin like Reb Yossi. The question is, Ula keman sovar. Ula, who speaks about the requirement of distancing 16 amas, who does he rule like on a Tanaic level? The karabonon nami lo havi, he doesn't figure like the rabbonon either. The rabbonon lobo harchocha elo dalanamas ulushesh riamo. The rabbonon require distancing from neighbor's property. We saw in our Mishnah of 4 amos. Ula requires a distancing of 16 amos. So on a Tanaic level, where does Ula figure? V'yesh lomar duli de Ula havimuki masnisin. Ula, Ula learns our Mishnah that spoke about a distancing of 4 amos, because the Mishnah, you don't need to distance a full 16 amos. 4 amos is enough because our Mishnah is betsunima. There's bedrock under the surface of the fields, under the border between these two fields. There is bedrock. Kidemuki la bereish pirkin, as the Gemara established at the beginning of this perek. Ulachi lo boy ela dalat amos, because of that, because of the presence of tsunama, which will prevent a tree root extension into the neighbor's field. If you plant a tree on top of your field and at the border there is bedrock, your tree roots aren't going to extend into the neighbor's property. So that you can plant your tree at a distance of up till 4 amas from the border. We want a 4 ama distancing though for the plow maneuvering purposes, as we mentioned earlier in today's shiur. So Ula doesn't appear opposed by the Rabbonon if you wouldn't have bedrock between the two fields. So then even the Rabbonon would concede you've got to maintain a distance according to Ula of 16 amas. Umiyu kashya le Rebbe Yitzchak. Rebbe Yitzchak, though, he has a difficulty. The porach lekamon Ula. The Gemara later, in a piece of, that we haven't learned yet in today's shiur, the Gemara will be asking on Ula mehakena ilon v'kakoi mevi v'kore. The Mishnah suggests that one who buys a tree with surrounding ground brings bikurim, and he recites the parsha my lav kol shu. The Gemara there says, in asking on Ula, is it not so that the tree there is negligible distance, a minuscule distance from the neighbor? and yet you're going to bring the Bikurim and read the Parsha. According to Ula, if you're at a Kolshu distance from the Navy, you're certainly not going to be Mevi Vekore. So, if you accept the Rabbeinu Hananel's approach to understanding Ula, Umay Kushya, why would there be any question from the Mishnah that speaks about Kaina Ila and Vekaka Imai on Ula? Shiny awesome! Shekanoi, the law of a gazlan. There's no question from that Mishnah. There, where you buy a tree with its surrounding property, there's no thievery over there. Someone who owned a large piece of property sold you, knowing very well that the tree roots are going to extend into his property, but he sold it to you anyway. There's no issue of theft there. So why would the Gemara ask from a case of, let's say, legitimate neighborly relations on Ula, who deals with theft? Therefore, since the Gemara did ask from a case of, we'll say, non-theft on Ula, apparently Ula is not dealing with real theft either. The Nira Kapirusha Kutris. Therefore, the Rabbi Yitzchok says I would prefer the Rashi approach. This is Rashi and Dibur Maskel Royin. The Afagav the Mutter Lismoch. Even though it's one is allowed to have a tree near the neighbor's property, probably even if you go like Rabbi Yossi, which is the way we rule, Mutter Lismoch, you can have your tree up against the border of the neighbor, even though that is allowed. Ein Mavien Mimenu Bikurim. You don't bring Bikurim from such a tree. Why? Why not? Deboinon asher tovi me'artzecha. You need to have that fulfillment. Namely, these are trees that are coming from the owner's land. And if the tree is deriving, is so close to the neighbor's property, the tree's existence, its sustenance is not me'artzecha, it's not from your property, it's from his property. And because of that, we'll call that scriptural detail. Ula tells you, do not bring the Bikurim. And as far as the term gazlan, who, as we said before in our introduction to this thesis, gazlan means the tree is like a thief in so far as it is drawing its nutrition from someone else's property. Ula kamon diomar. Ilan Asomuch Mevi Vikore Shalmanas Kane Hinchi Yeshua Esaretz. This is a reference to Gemara Chof Zayin Omid Beis, 20 lines from the top, where it says that a tree that's near the neighbor's property brings Bikurim and reads the Parsha. It was with this in mind that Yeshua divided the land of Israel amongst the Jewish people. Lo ko'omar sha'al minas kein hinchishe mutur lismoch. The condition stated there that on this condition Yehoshua distributed the land amongst the Jewish people. Don't say that on condition that you are allowed to plant the tree up to the border. Debalav hochi shori. Even without that condition, it would have been mutter. Namely, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, by letter of the law, you're able to put the tree up to the border. Not a function of a condition stated by Yehoshua. Elo, what does the Gemara on Chav Zayin Mabez mean? Elo almenas kein hinchil, shechoshuv kemoi me'artzecha, it was on condition that, in other words, Yeshua distributed the land of Israel with the following stipulation in mind, namely the trees that one happens to plant up along the border of one's neighbor's field, he is able to bring the Bikurim and recite the pasuk mino adoma asher nasata li, and that That means, in other words, that it's like me'artzecha, even though biologically speaking, the tree is deriving its nutrition from someone else's property. Amenas Cain, Inchli Yeshua, Yeshua distributed the land of Israel with this in mind, that even so, it's considered as if it's your own land, and you can accurately recite in the bringing of the Bikurim, Minu Adoma Asher Nosato Li. We continue with the next Tosfos, Eser, referring to the Gemara, seven lines from the bottom. Eser Netios Mufuzaros, we were trying to find a source for Ula's statistic. Besuka, Omar, in Maseches Sukkah, it says as follows. It lists three laws that are based on an oral tradition from Mount Sinai. Eser Netios Varova Venisu Chamayim Halocha L'Moshe Misinai. We're concerned only with the first of these three halachas. The other two you can learn about in Maseches Sukkah. It mentions 10 saplings. Tosfos emphasizes that the number 10 is to be taken quite literally and limited. The Davka Eser L'Serch Beisah, the Din, this Halacha Moshe Misinai, which says that you can plow up till Rosh Hashanah on an Erev Shemitah, not be restricted by the dinim of Tosefes Shvius, is only and literally if it's 10 saplings in an area of a Beis Sa'ah. Aval, if you try to adjust the numbers, we will not provide you with that same kula, the same lenient ruling. Aval pachos ein tzrichin harisha kokach. If it's less than 10, then 10 saplings in such an area, then there's no need to plow up the entire Beis Sa'ah for their benefit. V'cheinami im hoyu b'veisa yoyser me'aser netiyos ein chorshin. Likewise, if you had a very densely planted Beis Sa'ah with more than 10 saplings in that area, you would not plow until Rosh Hashanah. The fishaim dim leoker, they are going to be uprooted. In order for, let's say, proper development, you know that plants have to be spaced at an acceptable distance from one another. More than 10 saplings in an area of a Beis Sa'ah is too dense a planting that you know at the outset you're going to be uprooting some of those trees. So we can't allow the plowing of the entire Beis Sa'ah up till Rosh Hashanah under circumstances like that. We continue with the Tosfos at the top of Daf Chof Zayin Omer Aleph. Dibur Amaschil Kamo. This is a reference to the Gemara, seven lines from the bottom. Kama meruba yeser al ho'igol. How much greater is a square than the inscribed circle? And the Gemara said, Revia, a quarter greater. The square is a quarter greater in area than the inscribed circle. Hachi Isa, Bebraisa, de Maseches Midas, Vechein Be'erevin. We continue with the next Tosfos, Hachi Garsinon. This is a reference to the Gemara, eight lines from the bottom. Hachi Garsinon, Rabbeinu Tam, Posh Lehu Trey Tilsa Amsa. Now, I want to point out that this is a girsa that's different than the girsa that we have. Just a minor correction before we go on. The previous Tosfos Kama Merubah is a reference to the Gemara, seven lines from the top of the Omid. So we return to our Tosfos Hachi Garas Rabbeinu Tam, Posh Lehu Trey Tilsa Amsa. And we note that this is not the girsa that we have in our Gemara. This Tosfos is going to be a Tosfos filled with calculations. And by all means, have the Pirush Chai Sefer available. We may have included some of our crude illustrations as well, but we emphasize the need to have that important Sefer available. We're going to open up with a calculation that requires the continuous study of 12 lines of Tosfos before we can truly grasp what he is saying. We're referring to the issue of the tree mentioned in Maseches Shavuos as having a greater measure, a greater diameter than the tree mentioned by Ula. And how much greater is that measure? So the Gemara tells us it's two-thirds of an amma. So the two-thirds of an amma represent a shiur yanika, which is beyond the shiur of Ula. If Ula's tree derived its nutrients at a radius of 16 amas, the actual nutrient derivation is 16 and two-thirds amas. That's a radius measure. And we mentioned at the beginning of today's shiur the need for keeping in mind, this section of Gemara, the need to keep in mind the radius versus diameter measures. Right now, we're dealing with an increase in radius, which has direct bearing on the issue of bringing the Bikurim. According to Ula, the exemption of bringing Bikurim is a tree that's within 16 amas of the neighbor. May Iker Hadin, one could have been exempted up to a distance of 16 and two-thirds amma from the neighbor. And as the Gemara pointed out, Ula was being machmir, saying that the exemption is more limited than what the actual law would provide for. So now the issue of the two-thirds amma increase. Pirush, we should also mention, by way of markings, there's a triangle marking that we've noted on the side under the Mivneh, is that these triangles represent Tchilas Cheshbon Chadash. As each triangle appears, the Tosfos will embark on a new calculation. Later in the Tosfos, we're going to see a triangle with a colored in tip. That is also, those represent also calculations, but based on the girsa that we have, the Posh Le Palga de Amsa. So now the Tosfos. Pirush, Kishitakif Ilan de Ula, Ritsua Rechova Shnei Shlishe Amo. If you were to surround Ula's tree with a strap, a belt, a strap that has a width of two-thirds of an amma, Yehe Gadoil Ke'ilon Hamishne. The area formed by this additional area, it was the square measure of the area formed by this additional amount. Remember, Ula had a tree in the middle of a circle with a radius of 16 amas. If you take a strap and place around the 16 amas radius a strap that will also form a circle, the strap itself measures has a width of two-thirds of an amma, so that area, the area of that newly formed circle will be the same as the area of the tree in the Mishnah, which was 8.33 1/3. Shehoya yoyser shishim v'chamesh amos u'shlish beroichav amma. That means that the tree of the Mishnah was 65 and one-third square amos, greater than Ula's tree. Ula's tree, if you recall, measured 768 square amos. Take 768 And add to that 65 and a third, you get 83 and a third. Sharei im takif lamed beis al lamed beis miruboyin. Lamed beis means 32. If you were to surround an area of 32 by 32 amos with a ritzua, with a strap that's two-thirds of an amo wide, yitztarech kuf chof ches, that means if you would form an area measuring 32 by 32, that means a square that's 32 by 32, and you surround that with a ritzua, literally a strap, a strip that measures two-thirds of an amo in width, and it would be designed to surround a square measuring 32 by 32. Yitztorech, you would need, you have to do 4 times 32, that gets you to kuf chav ches, 128. You have to account for the corners now, because those were strips that had a thickness, had a width of two-thirds of an amma. And the corners now have to be accounted for as well. What's the size of each corner? Two-thirds by two-thirds. And that's what Tosis means. With Dalid Kronos, Shmoina Shlishim. 4 times two-thirds is 8/3. Harei, well, you take now 128 plus 8/3. 8/3 is really 2 2/3. Harei kuf lamed u'shnei shlishim. That's 130 2/3. Oirech al shnei shlishim rochav. That's a square measure. If you measure we'll call that frame that you just formed, that is 130 2/3 amas by 2/3 amma. We read this already. Harei kuf lamed u'shnei shlishim oirech al shnei shlishim rochav. Techsar horavia sho'igo pachos. We mentioned that we just accounted for a square area. To form from that square area a circle, you have to subtract 1/4. If you subtract 1/4 from that area that measured, as we said, 130 2/3 amas by 2/3 amas, yishoer tzariches. That will leave you with 98. And that's 98 square amas. Now, we will see at this point, how did we get to that 98 from the starting number of 65 and a third, which was, we said, the additional area of the tree in the Mishnah in Shvius, the additional area above the tree of Ula. If you recall, at the beginning of this Tosis, we said you really have to read a total of 12 lines of Tosis before we can begin to understand the calculation. So now we'll see how that works out. V'chein samach hei ama ushlish. We spoke before about 65 and a third square amos. Tachtoich l'shloisha chalokim. We have a little diagram to the side. If you don't have the Pirush Chai available, you can see we have a rectangle measuring 65 and a third by one amma. Take that rectangle and divide in its length into three parts. That's tachtoich l'shloisha chalokim l'oirech, in its length. Tia ritzua achas, if you if you divide it into three parts, dividing it in length into three parts, you'll have strips measuring 1/3 of an amma with a total length. You have 3 × 65 1/3. That's a total length of 196 amas. 196 long, 1/3 wide. That's tiyeh ritzua achas shel kuf tzadivov. That's 196 berochav shlish, and the width of 1/3. Now take that long strip, and I just to remind you, I'm reminding you of the obvious. That long strip represents the additional area of the Mishnah Shri over Ula. Take that long strip, tachtoich lishnayim, v'tosim ze b'tzad ze. Divide that strip in the middle. That's 196 in length divided into two. That's 98 and 98. And place the two, one on top of the other. And this is what we were trying to demonstrate with our diagram. What have we now formed? Tiyeh Ritsua Orka 98 Al Roichav Shnei Shlishi Amo. We now have formed a strip that measures 98 in length, 2/3 in width. And we mentioned before, you take that number, that's a square area. You reduce that 98 2/3. You reduce it by 1/4. You will come out with the 65 1/3 figure mentioned before. That's the additional area that the Mishnah in Shvius has for a tree, Yanika area over Ula's tree, Yanika area. Od Motzori b'Sefer Echad Mufurosh b'Gilyon HaSefer. The Ri found in a particular book the following method of making a calculation. Lahakif b'chutin ilon de'ula. Take strings, one string after another string, and each string in increasing length, and have them surround Ula's tree. Shehu lamed beis alam. As we mentioned, Ula's tree, we really mean the circle formed by the Yanika area of Ula's tree. Ula's tree had a diameter of the Yanika area of Ula's tree had a diameter of 32 amas. And now take those strings that we mentioned. Ad shehei rochav achut shnei shlishi amos aviv. Until the combined width of all those chutin, the combined width formed is 2/3 of an amma. Tachtoich hachutin. Now take that, in effect it's a circle formed by multiple strings. Cut them. V'tifashtem. And then spread them out in their length. Again, you've got a series of strings of chutin that you surrounded around the Ula circle till you reached a width of strings measuring 2/3 of an amma. Yeh ha'elyoin orkoi kuf. The last string forming the outer circumference, you will find, has a length of 100 amas. Shehu, now 100 amas is the length of that string, which before you cut it was really a circle. That means you have a circle. Shehu makif lamed gimel, 33 1/3. And if we skip the brackets for a moment, v'atachton tzarivov, and the innermost string you'll find has a length of 96 amashu makif lamed beis. Let's go over that. It was mentioned that the outermost string forming the perimeter of the new circle had a length of 100, that means you have a circle whose diameter is 33 and a third. V'chol sheyesh, reading in the bracketed section, v'chol sheyesh baruch b'tefach yesh b'kefo shlosha. There's a shas ratio that's very well known, that for every one in diameter, you have three in circumference. So that if you, or for every three of circumference, you have one in diameter. It's a 1-to-3 relationship. So that if you have a circumference of 100, that represents three times the diameter. Well, take 100 divided into 3, you get 33 and a third. So the outer circle is a circle with diameter 33 and a third. The length of the innermost string that surrounded Ula's tree perimeter, Vatachton, was 96. What does that mean by way of diameter? Shumakif Lamed Beis. Once again, take 96 and divide it by 3, you get a diameter of 32. Hare Oirech Atachton Pochois Min Ha'elyon Mikol Tzad Shnei Amos. The we have a little diagram. We had a string measuring 100 in length, and the innermost string measuring 96 in length. That 100 length string juts out 2 amos on either side above the 96 amo length string. It's fairly obvious that 100 is 4 more than 96. If you place the 96 equidistant from the ends of the 100 string, 2 amos of the 100 string on either side jut out. And that's what we just read. I'll read that again. The length of the lowest string is less than the uppermost string on both sides, mikol tzad, on each side, beis amos. V'tachtoich ha'odef mitzad echad, cut off the extra amount, the 2 amos from one end of the 100 length string. Utemalei tzad echad ha'orech letzad ha'kotzer, and then take those 2 amos and attach it to the innermost one. Tia Ritsua Tzadiches. I think that's fairly obvious that if you took 2 off of the 100 and attach it to the 96, so then now I have a string of what was 96 is now 98. V'chein hu samachei ushlish. And as we explained earlier, that 98 with a width of two-thirds of an amma, when you figure it, that amount in circular terms, you reduced a quarter, you got to 65 and a third, which once again is a demonstration of the increased size of the Mishnah tree circumference over Ula. And the Gemara pointed out that Ula was lo dok, but lechumra. Derech acheres, another approach. Lamed gimel ushlish al lamed gimel ushlish miruboyin, 33 and a third. That once again was the diameter of the tree according to Rabbeinu Tam's Girsa, according to Rabbeinu Tam's Girsa, that you had an additional was Tosh Lehu Trey Tilsa Amsa. You took the 2/3 of that the Gemara mentioned, 2/3 of an amma, and added that to both ends of Ula's diameter. That would result then in 33 and a third for the diameter of the tree in the Mishnah in Shvius. So now, you take that number, 33 and a third, al lama gimel shlish meruboyin, make that into a square. In other words, 33, a square measuring 33 and a third by 33 and a third. What's the square area of that? Oile, you do the multiplication, it come out to elef umea v'yud alef amos ushlish shel shlish. Shehi chiyas amo. If you do all of the arithmetic, you get to the following number, 1,111 and 1/9 of an amo square. Square amos. Techaser horavius. Subtract from that, because it was a square, and you want to get a circle that has that can be inscribed in such a square. What happens if you subtract a quarter of 1/11 and a ninth? Yishoyer, tof tof lamed gimel ushlish, 833 and a third. Hare ilon hamishnah. There you go. That's the ilon, the tree of the Mishnah, the diameter of the nutrition level of nutrition distance of that tree. Lamed gimel ushlish al lamed gimel ushlish. With a that's a circle having the diameter of 33 and a third. We skip the parentheses. That's three lines. Derech acheres. Another cheshbon. We have a note on to the side, and let's read what we've written. Derech cheshbon zeh. Through the following calculation, nir'eh sheha'igol saviv ha'ilon b'mishna, we will discover that the circle around the tree featured in the Mishnah, shetoifes shlish base saw, the tree that occupies one third of a base saw. The Mishnah spoke about three trees in a base saw, so one tree occupying a third of a base saw. Yesh lo kaiter has the circle formed by the one tree. In terms of its nutrition extent, is a diameter of 33 and a third. Shekamuvan have a toisefes shel shnei shlishi amo b'chol katzeh shel akotah shel ula. 33 and a third represents an addition of two thirds of an amo to each end of ula's tree statistic diameter. Shaya 32. Ula's tree had a diameter. The circle form was a diameter of 32. Hacheshbon bonui begimel shlavim. We'll see that this calculation is built on three levels, three stages. One, base saw malbein, a rectangular base saw is 100 by 25 amas. Take that's an entire base saw. Lokach shlish mimenu, one third of that instead of 100 in length, 33 and a third by 25. So an area measuring 25 by 33 and a third represents a third of a base saw. Toisif al hachof hei, od shlish milabar, shehu ravia milagav, shehu 8 and a third. Make a square. Stage 2 is take that 25 by 33 and a third. 25, you want to make it into 33 and a third. So add 8 and a third. 8 and a third, it's important to note, is one third of 25. It's also a quarter of the new total number. That's what we mean when we say it's a revia milagav. When you have the entire new number, and that means 33 and a third, what does 8 and a third represent? It represents one quarter of the new number. Now, ubekach notzar ribua. So you're going to add to the 25 another third, and that will give you a square whose sides are 33 and a third. You would multiply 33 and a third by 33 and a third. That will give you the square area. Next stage. Toirid mishetach zu 1/4. Now, subtract 1/4. Remember, before we had added 1/4 in order to get a square, which is a conventional way of figuring square area, measuring side the same number each side of the square, 33 and a third by 33 and a third. But that was an artificial number. That was taking a third of a base saw that originally measured 25 by 33 and a third, making it into a square. We did that by adding 1/4. Now, we want to make a circle out of that. So we're going to, in effect, be subtracting 1/4, the very 1/4 that we added, we're going to now subtract from the square area, and that will give you, that's Torid Mishetach Zeh 1/4, Shel Safnu Liel, the Zeh Ashir Shiribua Godol Meo. You go, that 1/4 is the amount that a square is larger than a circle. And that 1/4 happened to be, let's say, artificially added. Subtract it now. Utekabel Hashetach Shel Igol Im Kaiter Shloshim 33 and a third. And now you will see the area of a circle whose diameter is 33 and a third. And of course, when you took 33 and a third and multiplied it by itself, you got to the number we mentioned earlier, 1,111 and a ninth. You subtract from that 1/4, you get to 833 and a third, which was the area of the Mishnah in Shvius circle, that area being a larger area than Ula's area that we mentioned before by 65 and a third. So this is another way of coming up with that calculation. So now let's see this in the words of Tosfos. Derech Acheres, we're at the triangle there in the seventh of the wide lines of this particular Tosfos. Derech Acheres, Beis Saw, he Mea Al Chofei. A Beis Saw is 2,500 square amos, which can be in rectangular terms, a rectangle measuring 100 by 25. Tikach Ashlish Le'ilon Echot. Take a third of that for one tree. Ye Lamed Gimel Ushlish Al Chofei. That will give you a strip measuring 33 and a third by 25. Vehem Lamed Gimel Ushlish Al Lamed Gimel Ushlish Agulim. That strip of 33 and a third by 25, that's a rectangle, has the same square measure, has the same area measure as a circle whose diameter is 33 and a third. And how do you figure that? Sharei. And here Tosfos goes through what we mentioned just before in our note. Sharei. Moisif al horovia milavar shishlish milagav. We're going to be adding onto the 25 1/4, which is a 1/4 of the new number, which is shehi shlish milagav, which is a third of the the original number. This is, I think, when we introduced this in our note on the side, we were a bit inaccurate, but you're going to add to the 25 another third. A third is a third of milagav from within, meaning you took 25 divided into 3, and that is gets you to the 8 and a third measure, and that 8 and a third is a 1/4 of the new number, which we call from Milagav. It's a quarter of from within the new number. Shehu, I made the same mistake, but it's a quarter of Milabar from the outside. Dahainu, and what is that number when we add to the 25 a quarter from the outside, which is a third from within 25? Dahainu, Shmoina Amo Ushlish. You're going to add that. Ba'orech, Shloshim Ushlosha Ushlish. And now what do we have? You, Shloshim Ushlosha Ushlish, Al Shloshim Ushlosha Ushlish, Miruboyim. What we've done is by adding the 8 and a third to the 25, We're now dealing with a square measuring 33 and a third by 33 and a third. The asay oisay igul. Now here Tosis is a bit brief, but by forming the square of 33 and a third by 33 and a third, you then get a square area measure. You get an area measure, and now you want to make that into a circle. Vasay oisay igul shiyechsar roviyah shosafto. And by getting to a circle, you'll be subtracting the quarter that we had added before. Via igul shloshim ushlosh ushlish al shloshim ushlosh ushlish. The resultant circle when you have a square that had measured 33 and a third by 33 and a third, you subtract a quarter of that, you will end up with a circle that has a diameter of 33 and a third. And that's the shiur of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shvius. Up till now, we've been making calculations figuring Rabbeinu Tam's girsa, namely that the diameter of the tree of Shvius is, there's an increase of two-thirds amma. And we mentioned before the two-thirds amma on either side of the 32 got you to 33 and a third. Ulusforim the Garsi, according to the versions that have Poshle Palgadamsa, which by the way is our Girsa. And we mentioned earlier that the triangle that you see here is followed by another triangle, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Cheshbonis al Girsa Shonem Rabbeinu Tam, where it says Poshle Palgadamsa, that's our Girsa. Another marking that we'll see shortly is a house marking, which highlights the expression of Mokum Ilan. These, in the next couple of next two Cheshbonis that we'll see, Deos, these represent opinions. Shehalamid beis shel akaiter shel or eagle shel ashetach shel ilon shel ula. The diameter formed by ula's tree. That 32 einoi kolel hoetatzmo. The 32 number doesn't include the tree itself. So that the 32 is the function of a measure of 16 from each side of the tree outwards, so that the entire diameter will be greater than 32 when you figure the tree itself in. Now the Gemara. Ulusforim degarsi pashle palgadamsa. According to the version that says that the tree of the Mishnah and Shvius, vis-a-vis the tree of Ula, there's an additional half an amma to account for. Yesh lefarish. The choshev Ula, 16 lechol tzad levad mokom ilan. Ula, in his calculation, figured 16 to each side of the tree, excluding the diameter of the tree itself. Umokum ilon, shlish al shlish. The tree itself measured one-third by one-third. So we have a tree whose diameter is a third of an amma. Nimsa ilon de ula, lamed beis ushlish al lamed beis ushlish. Kishetakif mikol tzad, pagadamsa. Ye Lamed Gimel Ushlish al Lamed Gimel Ushlish. So when you take Ula's tree, which essentially has a total tree, the Ula's tree circumference is a circle whose diameter now is really 32 and a third. The Gemara mentioned that that 32 and a third was at a discrepancy of a half an amma from the Mishnah in Shvius. Now that half an amma is really added to each end of Ula's 32 and a third. Well, you add to each end a half an amma, you're adding, in effect, a full one amma. So now, by adding an amma to 32 and a third, you get to 33 and a third. Oh, that is the diameter of the circle of the Mishnah in Masechet Shvius, whose area before we indicated was 833 and a third. So what we've just done is explained how Palga de Amsa figures in the Cheshbon of adding that Palga de Amsa to Ula, you get to the tree statistic in the Mishnah in Shvius. Rabbeinu Mishulam Meforesh, the Ula lo choshiv mokom ho'ilon. Rabbeinu Mishulam follows in a similar fashion that Ula, in his statement of 16, or add that to make a diameter of 32, does not include the tree itself. Umokom ho'ilon havi'amo alamo. And notice here you have another house marking, because this Rabbeinu Mishulam calculates the tree differently. He says the mokom ilon is an amo by an amo. Nimtza dahavi ilon dula, that Ula's tree diameter inclusive now is lamed gimel lamed gimel, 33 by 33. That's a circle whose diameter is 33, and Tosfos refers to that as 33 by 33. Vim hoyu miruboyin, if you would have that as a square, in other words, the diameter would actually be the side of a square, so you'd have a square measuring 33 by 33. Hoya oile elef ushmoinim v'teisha, 1,089 area measure. Now, you want to make that into a circle. Techaser horavia yishaer. There will remain. This is 800. It's tough yudvav ushloisha revoy amma. That's 816 and three quarters amas. We put a brackets in because here Tosfos says something that you should not have as part of any girsa. V'lo garsina poshulu zayin meor shisin tamna. So we won't. That's not a girsa to include. So now what did we do? We have made a square and subsequently a circle out of Ula's 33. Remember, that's 32 plus the tree itself of 1, 33, giving you an area measure of 816 and three quarters. That's Ula's number. What about the Mishnah in Shvius, the area that it was one third of a Beisah, which was one third of 2,500. Nimsa the Ilon HaMishnah, which was 833 and a third. Yeser al Ula, 16 Amo, Ushlish or Ravia. What's the difference between Ula's 816 and three quarters and the Mishnah's 833 and a third? The difference is 16 Amas and a third of an Amma and a quarter of an Amma. Upalgo the Amsa Koi, the Girsa, if you recall, we've been discussing this extensively, the extra Palga de Amsa Koi, how are we going to factor in that half an Amma statistic? So he says, koi, it applies to the following. Koi abeisa, you're gonna use the half an amma in the following calculation. You start with a base saw, she chamishim al chamishim. One base saw is 50 by 50, 2,500 square. And we have a little diagram that accompanies this. Kishetasir palga di amsa. Here you go. There, this is the use of that palga di amsa. Subtract a half an amma lo'irech v'chein lo'roichev. So you can see in our diagram, we had a square that originally 50 by 50. The dashed line indicates a half an amma reduction in length and width. Yala achisoran. That gives you a square measuring 49.5 by 49.5. A square measuring 50 by 50, that's 2,500. A square measuring 49.5 by 49.5 gives you 2,450.75 amas. What's the difference between the original base saw and that which was reduced by one half an amma? I emphasize that term, half an amma, from half an amma from each side. That gave you a new square measuring 2,450.75. What's the difference between those? The difference is 49.25. Yala hachisoron chamishim amo chaser revia. Let me just make a correction. The discrepancy between the square measuring 49.5 by 49.5 and the original base of 2,500. The discrepancy, the difference between them, is an area measuring 49.75 amas. Dahainu, now that number of 49.75 was when we reduced in half an amma from a base saw, dahainu l'shalosh ilanos. That's when you had three trees. Ulu ilan echad yale. Take that and divide it by three. You will find 16 amma u'shlish u'ravia. V'yishoer ke'ilon de'ula. And that will remain as Ula's tree statistic. So just to repeat and refine the last point, and that is that when you reduced the original base saw by a half an amma on both sides, as we described, then figuring the square area and then dividing that square area into thirds, which represents one tree, and then figuring that discrepancy between the original number, the new number, that reduced number is a difference of from the original base saw, third base saw, the discrepancy is 16 amas and a third of an amma and a quarter of an amma, which is in effect the same statistic for Ula's tree. So that by that calculation, we understand what the Gemara meant when it said that the difference between Ula and the Mishnah in Shmias was a half an amma. But of course, it was you only appreciate that half an amma after you make all of these calculations. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibra Masfil L'Chumra. L'Chumra Lo Dok. This refers to the Gemara seven lines from the bottom. We pointed out that Ula's statistic was not exact, but his lack of exactness was for the purpose of achieving a chumrah. he exempted from Bikurim a tree that's within 16 amas but of the neighbor, but more than 16 amas would be obligated, when by letter of the law he could have exempted up till 16 and a half amas. So now Tosfos points out, v'im toimar v'ha nami kula hu, by that which ulah obligates in the bringing of bikurim, that which is just beyond 16 amas, there is actually a leniency involved. Whereas the Gemara said, oh, ula is in the direction of stringency. No, there's also an element of leniency involved. That which ula obligates in bikurim, that which is beyond the 16 amma mark, those fruits will be exempt from trumas and maestras, from those tithes. So, does that not actually represent a kula? Let's read that in the words of the Tosfos. Va'anami kulahu ha demaisi bikurim, that which you're going to be bringing bikurim beyond the 16 amma mark, demifka lahu mitruma maiser, kidamrinon ba'moichras asvina, as is pointed out later in our Masechta. So, the question here is, and why does the Gemara view ula as seemingly a totality of stringency? V'yesh lomar, the ula lo airi elo b'mai d'eino mevi v'soch 16. Ula was focused on the issue of your not bringing bikurim within 16. Avochutz le 16, but beyond the 16 amma mark, pe'omim mevi upa'omim eino mevi. Sometimes you will bring bikurim, sometimes not. If you're not going to be bringing, so you'll be chayav in trumas and maestras. Therefore, since there are times that you will be bringing bikurim beyond, that is trumas and maestras, we can't speak of ula's din as having any element of, as having, let's say, an element of kula, because at the same time you might be obligated to bring the trumas and maestras beyond the 16 amma mark. I'd recommend looking at the Sefer Tosfos HaMuvor to appreciate in greater detail what are the circumstances under which Tosfos means that sometimes you will be bringing bikurim and sometimes not. But for our purposes, it's noteworthy that up till 16 amas, is what was clear as far as ula was concerned, that you will not be bringing bikurim. Beyond that, as we said, there might be circumstances that you will continue to not bring the bikurim, and as a result of that, you will have to be mafresh trumas and maestras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.